Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna 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 He Krishna 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 He
Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava. ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണ അരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ ബൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസീദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗര പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡി, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു എൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശം ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗര. സംസാര സാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹ്യ ഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ. ശ്രീമത് ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്തിയർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യദാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ. നാമ സംകീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൾ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദ യ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽ സൂരയാഃ. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മ പ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമത്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ ഭരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ. നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബദാ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമഃ. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദം അഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയ തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനദോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിദിദീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം. സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിതാദൃദാനനെന്തോ മമ വാജി വിജൃംഭനാ മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കണികാഭി കാഭികാഭി. നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ഇതി നാമിനേ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി పాశ్చాత్యాదేశచారిణీం శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందం వ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాతీ భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజితచక్రశంగం కౌముదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాంబురదో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. Last Sunday, we had concluded our discussion on the marriage between Krishna and Rukmini. After that, the discussion in the Srimad Bhagavatam between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj continues in relationship with Krishna's other marriages, what happened afterwards, and also in between, virtually a reflection on Krishna's householder life. Strictly speaking, Krishna has no reason to enter into householder life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, doesn't require any of our materialistic way of life, but still, because Krishna came to this world to instruct the human society how to live in this world, you will see a lot of things, Krishna's activities from now on as a householder, how that will, how it is instructive to the human society, how to execute one's own householder life in this world. And that's why from here onwards, the rest of the 10th canto is typically Krishna as a householder. That's what you will find from now on. Most of the incidents or the stories related to in the Srimad Bhagavatam is those pastimes which are associated with Krishna's householder life. So, as I mentioned before, that the story of Rukmini's marriage to Krishna is also very significant. Of course, the pastime is very relishable by the people, for those who are attached to married life, and those who see when how Krishna got married first time, whole activities and the way Krishna dealt with Rukmini and with the Brahmana and all others, that's all very interesting pastimes. But from these pastimes of Krishna, there are many instructive lessons for the conditioned soul. Generally, the acharyas have stated in different instances that Rukmini Devi is nothing but actually a representation of the conditioned soul. She has been trying, normally what is the situation with the conditioned soul? Conditioned soul is always completely controlled by the senses. That is our position in this world. We are all conditioned souls. Conditioned means completely under the control of the senses, unable to escape from that. So senses and sense objects, that is what controls us very strongly, and we are struggling very hard to come out of it, but we do not have the strength to do that. And due to the tamogunam and the rajogunam, that is very prominent in us, and because we do not have the spiritual knowledge also to elevate ourselves, it is understood that one should approach a spiritual master, a personality who is already advanced on the spiritual life, spiritual path, and who has developed sufficient attachment to Krishna. Such an acharya or a personality
who is capable and who is well learned in the shastras, and also who has a very intense sadhana or upasana. These are the requirements for an acharya whom whose shelter one should take. And when one comes under the control or comes under the shelter of such a personality, with his help, one can escape from this material world. One can escape from this cycle of birth and death. So this is what that signifies, that the Brahmana in that pastime who took the message from Krishna, or from Rukmini to Krishna, is that representing that Acharya. That Acharya's position is like that. That just like the Rukmini's message was taken by Brahmana to Krishna, similarly, an Acharya or a great soul or great personality who is well fixed up in spiritual life, if one has taken his shelter, he also takes his disciple or the devotee back to Krishna in the same way. You can also see another interesting thing. Although Brahmana has taken the message to Krishna from Rukmini, later on, the success of it depends on, eventually Krishna has to pull the devotee out from the material world. Without Krishna's mercy, it is not possible to escape from this material world. That is why no matter how much sadhana one has performed, how much service one has done, and how much shastra he has studied, or how much association he had with devotees, ultimately the decision is in Krishna's hands. When Krishna decides that exactly like Krishna took pulled Rukmini out from there and took her to the chariot and put her in the chariot and took her back to Dwaraka, it's a similar situation with the disciple also. Disciple would have performed several austerities and penances in his life, but ultimately it is only by Krishna's mercy alone one can escape from this cycle of birth and death. So this is how these stories in the Puranas are not spoken only to give us an understanding of pastimes. Pastimes are there, they are to be relished by the devotees, because when it's spoken in through these pastimes, it becomes very enjoyable to hear, and also it's very relishable to the person who hears them. But at the same time, there is also these principles there which are also to be noted, that the conditioned souls travel back to home, back to Krishna, depends on so many other factors, and such things you can observe in these pastimes of Krishna. So the marriages happened, as I mentioned before, for Krishna and Rukmini in Dwaraka. And afterwards, what you will find in the next chapter is the birth of Krishna's first son. When Krishna after the marriage, this is what normally in the world, isn't it? First thing is to have a child first. So naturally, everyone who gets married, afterwards the next thoughts comes, the next thing what comes to the mind of the married couple for the grihastha ashramam is about children. That is the next priority. So unfortunately, or due to Krishna's decision, was such that Krishna's decision was such that he had no children for quite a long time. Krishna had no children for quite a long time. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the father of all the living entities in this world, had no children for quite some time after the marriage. And then there was a lot of worship of the of demigods in Dwaraka by the family members. Rukmini Devi and so many others started worshipping Sri Parvati very intensely in Dwaraka. And marriage is not complete unless Shastra says that prajayai grahamedhinam, having children is the object of married life, according to the Shastram. Prajayai grahamedhinam, that, so because of that, Krishna has to, after all, Krishna has spoken the Shastram. So because Krishna has spoken the Shastram, in life also, in personal life also, Krishna has to show the actions similar to the instructions in the Shastram. So Krishna decided now, after some time, Krishna had no children, so he decided, Krishna decided to go to Kailas to perform some austerities and penances and to please Lord Shiva. This was the goal behind. Krishna spent a long time in Kailas in the performance of austerities and penances and to please Lord Shiva. There were a few reasons behind this visit to Kailas. One reason was that when Krishna went to Kailas, there was another personality there called Ghandakarna. Ghandakarna was to be given liberation. That was one of the purpose of going there, main purpose of going there. It may look strange that Krishna had to go and perform austerities to have children. But what we have to understand from this is that here Krishna is, here Krishna in his own personal life showing to other householders in this world how Grahastha ashram is going to be. Householder life is going to have its own problems, and there will be a number of problems in different ways coming in the life, and how to deal with them. All these things Krishna has shown in these different pastimes from now on. So when Krishna went to Kailas, there was also another motive behind it. Kamadeva or Cupid, he got burned by Lord Shiva when he tried to disturb Lord Shiva's meditation. The fire that came out from Lord Shiva's third eye completely burned him into ashes. So Kamadeva was burned into ashes, and the result was that the soul of Kamadeva left his body and went and merged into Lord Vishnu's body. The result of that was Radhi Devi, Kamadeva's wife, became a widow. Radhi Devi started intense penances and approached Sri Parvati to help. Sri Parvati told Radhi Devi that unless and until I become a widow, you are not going to become a widow. That is what Sri Parvati told Radhi Devi. In other words, what it meant was there was no question of Sri Parvati becoming a widow because Lord Shiva is her husband. So because of that, Radhi Devi understood that Sri Parvati is not going to become a widow. In other words, I am also not going to become a widow. This is what Radhi Devi understood. So Sri Parvati told that in due course, your husband will come back. So when Kamadeva merged into Lord Vishnu's form, after a while Krishna decided that Krishna wanted to give life to Kamadeva back again, to that spirit soul of Kamadeva, to accept another gross body again. And this time Kamadeva wanted to take birth as Krishna's son. So before that happened, Krishna wanted to talk with Lord Shiva about it and take his permission, because after all, by Lord Shiva has burned Kamadeva into ashes by his anger. And before giving another life to Kamadeva, Krishna wanted to speak about that with Lord Shiva. This was the another purpose of going to Kailas. So there were two or three reasons why Krishna went to Kailas. Sometime where it is mentioned that Krishna spent about 12 years in Kailas in his austerities and penances to please Lord Shiva. What Krishna and Shiva has discussed is very difficult to say, because great Supreme Personality of Godhead and whose immediate expansion Lord Shiva, what they would have discussed only they know. We have no, but acharyas are saying that these are the different reasons why Krishna had gone to Kailasam. Krishna came back from Kailasam back to Dwaraka again, and very soon Rukmini Devi became pregnant. So when Rukmini Devi became pregnant, in due course a baby was born who was Pradyumna. Pradyumna is the same personality, Kamadeva, who got another body again and came as Krishna's son this time, and he was called as Pradyumna. And the Krishna's time in Dwaraka, by now that the when Kamadeva was burnt into ashes by Lord Shiva, that time there was a demon by name Shambharasura. This Shambharasura performed many, many penances, and he got a benediction that no one else will kill him except Kamadeva. This was the benediction he obtained. Kamadeva alone could kill him. The reason why he got that benediction was, he came to know that Kamadeva got killed, and therefore there was no chance of him getting killed. The usual demoniac thinking. But as much as when Kamadeva got burned into ashes, and Shambharasura was living at that time, one day, Sri Narada Maharshi went and told Shambharasura that although Kamadeva got burned by Lord Shiva, he is going to regain another birth again as Krishna's son. This information was given to Shambharasura. Shambharasura got worried because he knew that if he reappear again, although Kamadeva lost his gross body, if he reappears as Pradyumna, he will become his enemy. So Shambharasura and Pradyumna were natural enemies. Shambharasura knew that Pradyumna was his enemy and he will kill him. Similarly, Pradyumna also knew that Shambharasura was his enemy. Pradyumna was also aware of that. So when Pradyumna was born, Sri Narada Maharshi told Shambharasura that if he doesn't kill Pradyumna, he is going to be in trouble. That is how he mentioned to Shambharasura. So Shambharasura, who was a very powerful demon, went into the palace in Dwaraka. And on the 10th day after the delivery of Pradyumna was born, Shambharasura entered into Sutiyagraham. Sutiyagraham means where the delivery happened in the palace, where Rukmini Devi had the baby. He, through his power of Maya, Shambharasura entered inside, took the baby out and threw the baby into the sea. Into the sea. That is how Shambharasura thought that I have escaped now from death. And also, nobody could find out Shambharasura what he has done, and there was a lot of confusion in the palace in Dwaraka. Everyone was very disturbed of what has happened. You can imagine Rukmini Devi's situation. She was in tears after this incident has happened. Everyone reported and Krishna came to know about it, but didn't do anything about it. Nothing. Krishna didn't do anything about it. They approached Krishna and mentioned to him. Krishna said, "What can I do? This is what has happened." So Krishna played it in that way, didn't take very serious note of it. But at the same time, Sri Narada Maharshi also went to Radhi Devi, that was Kamadeva's wife, and told her that your husband has come back to this world and he will appear again in Shambharasura's house. You should go and find some place or some service in Shambharasura's palace, Shambharasura's service. So Radhi Devi went up to Shambharasura's house and she managed to get a work there in the kitchen. Radhi Devi got a job there in the kitchen. She was helpful in assisting the cooking going on in Shambharasura's kitchen. So it was the same time when the baby was thrown into the sea, the baby didn't die. Although thrown into the sea, Pradyumna didn't die. Look at the way things happen in this world, that people make different plans, but the higher authority controls everything. Pradyumna was not killed. Pradyumna was eaten by a large fish. And that fish was caught by the fishermen that day in their net. When they got this big fish which has eaten Pradyumna, they took that fish and they presented the fish to their own king, who is Shambharasura. So Shambharasura threw away the baby, thinking that he has escaped from his death. And the very same baby has got into the belly of this fish. And the fisherman who caught the fish in the net, brought the fish and delivered it to Shambharasura as a present. Shambharasura saw the fish and told them to take it to the kitchen. And when they were taken to the kitchen to be cooked, when they cut the belly open, the baby was alive still inside. In Pradyumna was still alive inside the body of the fish. Radhi Devi, who was assisting in the kitchen, saw the baby and asked them if she could have the baby. So she got the baby. They gave the baby gladly to her, and she took the baby, brought the baby home, and started looking after the baby. So on the one hand, you can see that Shambhrasura felt that he has got out of the trouble. No, he didn't. He wasn't out of the trouble. Number two, you can see Pradyumna, although he was thrown into the sea, he survived. This is the unknown hands behind it working, that Krishna's hands, how Krishna decides who should live and who should die. And when he should live, when he should die. All these things are decided by some higher authorities. And that is in Krishna's control. We may make so many different plans in this world, but those plans always do not necessarily work. They are controlled by the superior laws of Krishna. So as it happened, that Radhi Devi brought up this child, Shambhrasura was thinking he has killed his enemy. The child grew up very fast. It didn't take very, very long time for the child to grow up. When the child grew up in Radhi Devi's home, initially Radhi Devi was like a mother for the child. But after a while, when Pradyumna grew up and became a youth, one day Pradyumna noticed that the mother who brought him up was having not a relationship like a mother, rather than a wife. So Pradyumna asked Radhi Devi what was the reason behind it. At that point, Radhi Devi disclosed to Pradyumna about his past, who he was, that Pradyumna was her husband in the previous life as Kamadeva, who got burned into ashes by the fire from Lord Shiva's third eye, and he has reappeared now in Pradyumna's body. As soon as she said that, at the same time, Pradyumna got back all the previous memory of his previous lifetimes. And immediately, as soon as the memory came back to Pradyumna, Pradyumna realized what is first. He also brought back that enmity towards Shambhrasura strongly. Radhi Devi taught Pradyumna many things, how to deal with Shambhrasura, because Shambhrasura had many powers in his control to fight a war. So Radhi Devi had given all the necessary knowledge how to counteract the Shambhrasura's weapons, and also gave plenty of new weaponry and also art of fighting, mantras related to fighting, and trained up Pradyumna and asked him to go and kill Shambhrasura. When Radhi Devi said this to Pradyumna, Pradyumna got himself prepared and went to fight the war and challenge Shambhrasura. There was a big fight, and in that Pradyumna eventually killed Shambhrasura. By now, many years have passed. Krishna has, Pradyumna was there, and Pradyumna has many years, the child was gone missing. And Rukmini Devi, in course of time, like everything in this world, is a question of time, isn't it? Sometimes distress comes in world, in the life. But that distress also goes away after a while. The intensity of the distress gets minimized, diminishes in due course, along with the time. So death, things like death, for a moment when death happens in the family or some close members in the family die, immediately there is a distress for the members. But as time goes away, that is forgotten. That is the nature of this world. And by after 10, 15 years, The distress is not as intense as it was for the first or second day after death. Similarly, other things also, when material world distress comes to us, it is also temporary. It also doesn't stay for long. And afterwards, we get used to it and we learn how to adapt with the situation. That is the nature of the material world. So here what happened was, Shambhrasura was killed and Pradyumna and Radhi Devi now decided to come back to Dwaraka to see Krishna and Rukmini. So when they came back to see Krishna and Rukmini, Pradyumna by appearance looked exactly like Krishna in all features, the color, the bodily features, and also the smile, the eyes, in all aspects, probably it may look Pradyumna was a little younger than Krishna. So all by now, Krishna had so many other marriages. By now, Krishna has performed. Krishna had gone through so many other marriages. So many women Krishna has married. Rukmini was married first, and then of course after that, Jambavati came, and then Satyabhama came, and then Kalini came, then Satya came, then Bhadra came. Bhadra was there, and then after that, Lakshmana came. So like this, the eight major wives of Krishna, they were all there in the palace. They all had their own separate palaces, and Krishna was with them at different times. And in addition to that, Krishna also performed 16,100 marriages from Narakasura's palace. Then Narakasura was killed, Krishna married 16,100 wives. So all these large family of Krishna and Krishna's wives, they were present in Dwaraka. So one day, when Krishna's wives were just spending their time in the palace gardens, at some point they noticed that the young couple were coming from the sky onto the ground. And when they looked very closely, Pradyumna and Radhidevi were coming down. When they saw from the ground, first they thought, after marrying 16,108 times, Krishna has probably found another wife now, and Krishna is coming now. This 16,109, they thought. So when they came down, they thought Krishna has gone married another person. That was such a close similarity between Krishna and Pradyumna. This is what has happened. So that is how they felt, that Krishna has come back with another wife. So when they came and stood on the ground, everyone was looking at them. Nobody was talking to them anything. They didn't know what to say. Then they went to the palace and brought Rukmini there. Rukmini came there and Rukmini looked at them. Rukmini saw Pradyumna. She started thinking, if my son was alive today, probably he would have looked like this. She was thinking like this in her own mind. Rukmini was thinking like that. And at the same time, then they brought Krishna to the gardens. Krishna came there. Krishna didn't show any, didn't say anything. Although Krishna knew who it was, didn't say one word. He just stood there. So Krishna and Rukmini standing there, otherwise were standing there. And Pradyumna and Radhidevi was also standing there. They were all looking at each other, not saying anything. Immediately, Sri Narada Maharshi comes to Krishna and Rukmini and says to them, how come you are not taking your son back and talking to him? He has come back after a long time, he said. Only then Rukmini Devi realized it, who it was. Pradyumna was her own son. You can imagine how much Rukmini has felt when Pradyumna came back home after this long gap. After he left home as a baby, 10 days. Now he has come back as a youth who is 25 or 30 years old. And so that was the time gap. By now, Krishna's family has expanded so big. Rukmini Devi showed a lot of happiness of getting back Pradyumna back. But Krishna did not show so much. Krishna, this is what Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavatam is, that in the householder life, sometimes little bit happiness will come. And sometimes a lot of distress also will come. So in all these conditions, Krishna's attitude is, don't we get too much affected by that. This is Krishna's attitude. Because it is no point. As soon as we enter into householder life, you should be prepared for a lot of distress, a long haul after that. And that will keep only increasing day after day. It is not going to reduce in any way. So therefore, for householders, in order to, just to instruct householders that there is no need to get too happy about anything, in the Ekadasha Skandam, while referring to householder life, Krishna says one thing. Griheshu adhidhi vasan. That just like a guest at home, one should stay. He says like an adhidhi. Only like a guest, one should be attached to the house. And guest is not very attached to that house, isn't it? He's only a guest there. How much a guest cares for? He comes for a few days and then after that he leaves. Similarly, a householder also, if he is not careful, if he gets too attached to family affairs, Krishna says, you'll have to carry the distress also with it. There's nothing you can do about it. So in order to instruct the human society that in householder life, what should be the attitude of a householder, Krishna has shown that in this particular pastime with Pradyumna. When Pradyumna came back, you will see a lot of things after this in the same way. Krishna's renunciation and detachment to householder life. Although, Trilogi Grihasthaya Vishnu Namaste, Ajaya Swamiji said about Krishna, Krishna is a Trilogi Grihastha. Trilogi Grihastha means his family was so big in all the three worlds. And that personality who was such a big householder, his attitude was like this, no attachment to anything. When Pradyumna appeared back in the home, Krishna didn't show much of a concern. Not that he didn't show any unhappiness, but didn't show unnecessarily extra happiness either. Oh, my son has come back now, so that I had become overjoyed by that. Krishna was very, peaceful about the whole situation. He has come back. So, in householder life, these things will happen. After marriage, first time, there will be distress for not having children. And then the distress continue. And sometimes you will have children, and children will be there. And then sometimes the children may go away. Who have come, they leave you. They may leave you, and sometimes they may come back also again after leaving you. All these things are part of the householder life. So in order to show that, Krishna is saying here that in all these things, one should keep one's mind unaffected by the material nature. Because different living entities join together due to their own different karma. Whatever karma has driving them, that brings them together and separates them at different times. Sometimes appearance of the child in the family, they will celebrate in a big scale that, oh, we didn't have any children, for that the distress starts. And when they have children, also there is distress afterwards. And when there is separation in the family, a due course, in some way or the other, the separation will happen. In all these cases, Krishna says that a householder should not get affected by that. This is what Krishna has instructed through this pastime. So Pradyumna comes, and Pradyumna is in the family now. Later on, in the next chapter, after this, something else happened. If you look at this one chapter, you will find that the householder's three attachments in this world, one is wife, other one is children, and the third one is wealth. Isn't it? We mentioned this before, and it's called as Eshanatrayam. Eshanatrayam means Artha Dara Putreshana. Artheshana, Putreshana, Dareshana. That is the three things which holds a householder very strongly to the home. And these attachments are very difficult to give up. Because once one gets affected by the attachment, then the whole life is centered around that. A householder, if you ask, who was a brahmachari or a bachelor before he got married, he had time for so many things. He had time to visit others, he had time to visit the temples, or if he was a devotee, he would have been able to go to the temples. Or in so many other things he was able to do in his life. But as soon as the marriage happens, then the whole life starts centered around the, revolving around the family. Family is the only consideration after that. And day by day, that becomes the important business in life. Nothing else. There's no time for anything. If you ask him, oh, I haven't seen you at the temple for a long time, he says, what can I do? I'm married now. That will be the answer. Because I'm married, that means even Krishna can wait now. Because I got married. This is the answer to that. So that is how powerful that knot of attachment is. Griheshum, I think it is in the fourth canto, where Rishabhadev instructs his children about the Nayam deho deha bhajan raloge kashtan kaman arhade vilbujam ye tabo divyam putragayena sattvam shudhye dasmal brahma saukhyam tvanandam mahal sevayam dwaram ahur vimuktam tamo dwaram yoshidam sangi sangam మహాన్నస్తే సమచిత ప్రశాన్న విమన్యవా సుహృద సాధవోయే ఏవామయీషే కృత సౌహృదార్థే జనేషు దేహంభరవార్తికేషు గృహేషు జాయాత్మజాదిమత్సూన ప్రతియుక్త యావదర్థాశ్చ లోకేం గృహేషు జాయాత్మజరాదిమత్సూన ప్రతియుక్త యావదర్థాశ్చ లోకేం నూనం ప్రమత్త కురుదే వికర్మ ఇదింద్రియ ప్రీణయమాప్నోతి న సాధు మన్యే యదమాత్మనోయం అసన్నవీ క్లేశనవాసదేహ. In the Bhagavatam, Rishabhadev says to his children about the householder life, how dangerous the householder life is. If one is not careful, one can get completely driven by that and lose the purpose of life in this world. So all these instructions are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Krishna was generally, first thing, the marriage itself was a lot of struggle in the beginning. He had to fight, he had to fight with Rukmi, with Shishubala, with Janasandha and so many others. After that, he got Krishna married Rukmini. So that itself a lot of problem. And then the next problem comes up about having children. So that carried on for a long time. And then after that, the next thing what happens was the bad name Krishna got in Dwaraka. Krishna was affected by the Duryashas. Duryashas means some personality decided to defame Krishna for various reasons, and that is the story of Semantaka Jival. So Srimad Bhagavatam, all these things from now on, you will find these are things which can happen to everyone in this world, and how Krishna dealt with them. These things are also interesting, and many instructions along with that, why such things happen. So Satrajit's story. Satrajit was another Yadava who lived in Dwaraka with so many others. All the Yadavas were Krishna's family members. And Satrajit was a Yadava as well in Dwaraka. But there was something interesting with Satrajit. Satrajit was in dire poverty. He was very, very poor. Normally, this should not happen for anyone in Dwaraka, because Krishna is present there and Rukmini Devi is also present there. Who is Rukmini Devi? Is Mahalakshmi herself. There is no question of poverty where Mahalakshmi is present and when Supreme Personality Krishna is present. Then how come Satrajit became so poor? One may ask this question, isn't it? Because it's an important thing to know that there was no shortage of anything in Dwaraka. There was no shortage of anything in Dwaraka. Everything was in abundance because of the presence of Krishna and Rukmini Devi there. So, but still, Satrajit became very, very poor. Satrajit became very poor. Satrajit had a daughter by name Satyabhama. So, why did this happen to Satrajit? Why did he become poor? The answer to that is, Satrajit had a very serious problem. Problem is this, many people have this problem in this world, it's not only Satrajit. Problem was this, Satrajit will always talk about Krishna, diminishing Krishna's position. In other words, always trying to minimize Krishna's position as Supreme Personality of Godhead. He used to think of Krishna, after all, he will talk like this. He will say, after all, what is the people are talking about Krishna so much? I mean, it is not too bad when you look at Krishna, he looks young and beautiful. But at the same time, he has got a little bit more material opulence. Apart from that, I don't think there is anything which is so admirable in Krishna. This is how Satrajit used to say about Krishna. Krishna knew about this, the way Satrajit spoke about him. So another instance, Satrajit will say he is like any other human being in this world. So these are the two things what can happen to all of us. First thing, to start thinking of Krishna as an ordinary human being. This is the first mistake what can happen in our life, to think about Krishna as an ordinary human being. Secondly, to look at Krishna's position as a Supreme Lord and not appreciate that, not accept that, and start minimizing and speaking about it in a tone, not giving the value, what the respect or the position what Krishna deserves, and start thinking of Krishna as a ordinary person. So first to think about Krishna as a human being. Secondly, to think about Krishna's qualities as though they are not important and start speaking about it not in a very nice way. And that is what Satrajit has done. So Satrajit used to go around. This is a kind of poverty of the mind, not to appreciate the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a kind of poverty in anyone's mind. Only thing what has happened to Satrajit was, this poverty of the mind has extended to the all his life, throughout his life. And that is what has made Satrajit so poor. So you can imagine, when one starts thinking about Krishna in that way, it will have its also repercussions in one's own life. And Satrajit became quite poor in his life. Materially, he was very poor. So when he became very poor, what Satrajit did was, as in those days, the system was, they approached any demigod whom they were very attached to, according to their desire, and worshipped them. So Satrajit went and performed very severe austerities and very intense penances to please the sun god. To please the sun god. So after performing a few years of austerities and penances, sun god got, Vivaswan got very pleased with Satrajit and asked him, what does he want? Satrajit told him that he is feeling, he wants to get out of the poverty. Surya Bhagavan or Vivaswan handed over a very, very expensive jewel to Satrajit, which is known as Samantaka jewel. So the Samantaka jewel was given to Satrajit by sun god. While giving the jewel to Satrajit, sun god asked Satrajit, Krishna is present in the Dwaraka. How come that you have come and worshipped me like this? Because sun god was also a little bit perplexed by this. They approached Satrajit. Satrajit told sun god that, I like to worship you because I consider you as who can help me in this situation. In other words, Satrajit kept Krishna completely out of the picture. That was his intention. So Satrajit, through these penances, pleased sun god, and sun god gave this Samantaka jewel. Now, normally, this story should have finished here, isn't it? After all, a man was poor. He went and performed penances. And after performing penances, he got the Samantaka jewel. He is now very, very rich. Every day, sun god told Satrajit, you worship this jewel, install it nicely in a temple and worship that. It will give you 8 kilos of gold every day. 8 kilos of gold you can get from this jewel. So naturally, Satrajit's poverty is over now, isn't it? So the story should also be over now. But this story is not like that. This story never finishes. Through this story, Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and Vedavyasa Maharshi wanted to teach this world a very, very important lesson. They have deliberately done this. Krishna and Vedavyasa together decided that, let us use this as an opportunity to teach this world some important instructions. And that is why this story never ends. It goes on and on and on. Continuously, it goes on. So first thing what happened was, Satrajit got this jewel. Now, he got the jewel. All sun god told him, take it home, worship it. You'll have enough wealth and you don't have to worry about it afterwards. No, it didn't finish there. Satrajit took the jewel home and started worshipping. Wealth started coming in the life. When the wealth started arriving in the life, the whole scene changed. Satrajit's mood also changed. That is normal, isn't it? In this world, you know, when you become wealthy, suppose you are very poor in the early days, and then you become wealthy one day, you start feeling some kind of authority in this world. Now, I am a, you know, and the newspapers also help you. Millionaires list, they'll put it. And if you can name, get your name in there, then you feel that you have achieved something in life. But unfortunately for Satrajit, that was his misfortune. As soon as the wealth came in, the pride also developed along with that. That is the together, it goes together. Arthagamam, there are two things in the Shastra mentioned very clearly, that the artham will become anartham. artha becomes anartha at some stage, and that is what the message Krishna wanted to give to this world. Artham becomes, wealth becomes anartham. Anartham means which will become the one's own destroyer. In other words, it destroys one person. One of the anartha, as they call it. So, our Satrajit, what he did was, he one day thought that now I am someone important here, I am wealthy. Everyone recognizes me. I should go and walk around with this, tying this jewel on my neck. And he tied the jewel on his neck and started walking through the streets. Let people see me and they will know who I am then. So the jewel was so powerful and effulgent. The very effulgence of jewel, people when they saw, they thought the sun god himself has come through the streets walking around. To such an extent they were affected by the effulgence which was coming from the jewel. So Satrajit, the first thing he wanted to impress, first person whom he wanted to impress was Krishna. Of all the people in Dwaraka, the first person Satrajit thought he should impress upon is Krishna. So Satrajit comes to the front of the palace when Krishna was there and start walking up and down in front of the palace wearing this jewel. So some people came up to Krishna and said to Krishna that Surya Bhagavan, the sun god, is coming to visit you. They said to Krishna. Krishna says, he hasn't taken any appointment with me to come and see me, he said. But let's have a look who it is, he said. So although one who knows everything, what goes on in this whole creation, Krishna comes out looking for who it is. Up to this time, Krishna knew that Satrajit has spoken ill about him. Nothing, never one word spoken in a nice way about Krishna. Forget about being a devotee, but at least not being inimical to Krishna. That much one can do. But rather, Satrajit's attitude was always very critical and always seeing Krishna as an ordinary person. The same mistake many people do in this world. They think they read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and they conclude at the end that Krishna was having a great time in this world. What else is he done? This is how they will talk about it. But intelligent people, great devotees and great acharyas who have the spiritual intelligence to see things and who are advanced in their realizations, they know who is Krishna. Therefore, we have to remember, we have to see whose authority you want to take from. Who are the Mahajano yena gadasa pandaham. Bhagavatam says that Mahajanams are the authority, not the ordinary mundane personalities of this world. They don't know anything. What do they know? Mahajano yena gadasa pandaham. So here what happened was that Satrajit came in front of Krishna's palace. Krishna came out to see Satrajit. When he came outside, he saw Satrajit. So Krishna says to everyone else, this is not sun god or Surya Bhagavan. This is only our old Satrajit has come here, he said. And Krishna started immediately welcoming Satrajit. Satrajit saw and says to Satrajit, Satrajit, come into the palace, he says. Started inviting him inside. Krishna wanted to have a joke about it. That was the intention behind it. Invited Satrajit to the palace and brought him into the reception room. And he says to Satrajit, Satrajit, at this time of the day, what do you drink or what do you eat? As a fantastic host, Krishna started showing all hospitality to Satrajit. And Satrajit, nicely sitting in the chair, is thinking, when I had no money, this Krishna never spoke to me one word, never asked me how I am doing, what I am doing. Now I become so wealthy and he wants to make friendship with me. This is Satrajit's mind working. So usual problems in this, this is all going on in all the rich connections. These kind of relationships do exist even today. It's not different. So, so this is what has happened, that money brings such kind of understanding of life also. So Satrajit said, no, I don't take anything now. I don't eat or drink anything. All these things happened. So a few minutes they had conversation. Krishna acted as though he is a wonderful host and given a lot of hospitable treatment to Satrajit and acted in a very nice way to Satrajit. Satrajit spent a few minutes there and after that wanted to leave. So when Satrajit was got up from his seat and was going to go, Krishna asked a question to Satrajit and shocked him. Krishna asked this question, Satrajit, would you give that jewel to me? He said. That was enough for Satrajit. Satrajit never thought that Krishna will be so... He thought for a second, why Krishna is so shameless to ask me like this? I have not spoken to Krishna for a long time. And Krishna and us and me, the relationship was not so good before. And first day I come in and receives me in such a grand way, in a beautiful way, and shows me all friendship. And then at the end I'm leaving, asking me, could you give that jewel to me? And Krishna also told Satrajit, whatever be the price you are looking for that jewel, I'll give it to you. He said, Krishna says to Satrajit. Satrajit thought, oh, how cunning you are. You have not changed your policies. Even the day you left Vrindavan, you are still the same personality. You know that how you know still know how to negotiate things. This is what going through Satrajit's mind. So Satrajit had no desire to hand over the jewel to Krishna. Can you imagine? People come, the whole creation, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and many others, when they go to see Krishna, they go with presents to see Krishna. And great sages, they go to see Krishna. Great kings, they offer everything. The whole kingdom they offer to Krishna and want to become Krishna's servant. And Krishna still may or may not accept it. That is how Krishna is. And here, look at Satrajit's misfortune, that Krishna has asked something from him and he couldn't give it. So this was Satrajit's misfortune. So you can see what happened after that. That Satrajit said to Krishna that this is not my own property. I have to discuss this with the other family members. A beautiful excuse to say, my brother Prasena, I have to talk to him and we'll make a decision after that, he said. Krishna said, fine, then you go home and talk about it and let me know, he said to Satrajit. Satrajit never got back to Krishna. He just wanted to escape from there. All he wanted to do was to impress Krishna that I am as good as you are. I got everything, I got wealth, and I am also as important as you are in Dwaraka. That was all he wanted to do. So the devotees wanted to find out from Krishna, why did you ask for that jewel from Satrajit? Isn't it? Because devotees want to know, because it's an unusual thing, Krishna going and asking somebody, give this to me. It was a very strange thing that was to happen. So they asked Krishna, and there are so many answers to that question. One devotee's conclusion was that Krishna knew that if Satrajit holds on to that jewel, he will suffer due to that jewel. So in order to protect that devotee, protect that person, Satrajit, Krishna gave him a chance that hand over that jewel to me, you will save from a lot of distress in the future. That is one of the reasons one devotee has come. He asked Krishna about it. Krishna said, yes, that was in my mind at that time. If you have handed over that jewel to Krishna, all the other disasters, what has happened afterwards, may not have happened. This was the important thing. Another devotee mentioned to Krishna, was that not a clever move from your side? You had some hidden motive behind it, wasn't it? Krishna smiled and said to him, what do you think I had that hidden motive behind this? He said. The devotee said to Krishna that you wanted to marry Satyabhama, wasn't it? So by this time, what was happening in Dwaraka was, often in the evenings, Krishna and Balaram will go out walking in Dwaraka. When they go out walking, Balaram noticed that when they come in front of a particular house, Krishna will look into the windows and there was someone standing there and caught attention of Krishna. Balaram has noticed that it was Satyabhama. Satyabhama and Krishna used to see each other in this way. And Balaram knew that there was some attachment in Krishna's mind towards Satyabhama. So here what happened was the devotee asked Krishna that was that not your intention? You wanted to marry Satyabhama. That is why you asked for the jewel, isn't it? He said. So Krishna asked the devotee, how can that happen? If I want to marry Satyabhama, if I ask for the jewel, how will I get Satyabhama for that? So the devotee said to Krishna that as far as I can see, your plan was this. There are some people in this world. When they get attached to something, they'll get so attached to it that if you ask them for something, like in the case of this, in the seventh ritual, if you have asked Satrajit for that, Satrajit will say to you, you can ask me anything you want in this world, including my daughter, I'll give her in marriage, but don't ask me about seventh ritual. Everything, anything else. If you get a reply from Satrajit like that, okay, then I leave seventh ritual, hand over Satyabhama to me. You would have said that, wouldn't you? He said. Krishna smiled and agreed also that that was also there behind that question. It was also a motive behind that question. Krishna has, this is all there in the history, recorded history of different commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. You can see all these things coming through. Krishna and the devotee, they discuss every pastime of Krishna threadbare, and they want to find out why Krishna has done that. This is Krishna consciousness. That when you enjoy Krishna's different pastimes and also how Krishna enjoyed the association with his own devotees in different ways, that is also very enjoyable for the devotees to remember. So here what happened was, Satrajit went home, never bothered to come back, and Krishna didn't get the Samantaka jewel. Samantaka jewel was never handed over to Krishna. Krishna left it like that. After going home, Satrajit carried on worshipping and plenty of gold at home. One day, Satrajit's younger brother Prasena wanted to go on a hunting mission in the forest. So he took this jewel, tied onto his neck, and went to the forest. The purpose of carrying this jewel was that when he carries the jewel, it gives so much light everywhere. Even in the night time, there was no need for any light. It was so powerful that the jewel given enough light for Prasena for his hunting mission. So when he went to the forest, he had this jewel on his neck. A very powerful lion saw this and got attracted to it. The lion attacked Prasena and killed him and took the jewel and ran away from there. This happened in the forest. And when the lion was carrying this jewel in his mouth, the light was everywhere, and it was passing through in front of a big cave where Jambavan lived. Jambavan comes from the Tridayagam. From Tridayagam, Jambavan has come. Jambavan was one of the assistants of Lord Ramachandra during his time when he went to fight with Ravana, like Hanuman. Jambavan, Angada, they were all Vanaras who assisted Ramachandra in the mission. So this Jambavan was living in the cave. After the Ramayanam episode, Jambavan came to live in this cave on Krishna's instruction at that time. Krishna, Ramachandra told him to stay back. Krishna wasn't there. Ramachandra instructed him and he was living in this cave. The time when the lion came through that way, Jambavan has come out of the cave and he saw this wonderful jewel in the lion's mouth. As soon as Jambavan saw that, Jambavan was a very powerful personality. If you read Ramayanam, you will know Jambavan's strength. When Ramchandra and Lakshmana attacked Sri Lanka, what Jambavan did there, you can see in the Ramayanam in detail. So when the lion came there, Jambavan attacked the lion and got this jewel, Samantaka jewel from the lion. He killed the lion and took the jewel and went inside the cave. So he went inside the cave and he had his children playing there inside the cave. So you may ask the question, how there could be children for Jambavan now? Jambavan was very, very old. From Tridayagam he is living there. That means from Ramchandra's time. Now this is the end of Dwaparayugam. You can imagine how many years have passed by now. The reason for that was, Ramachandra has given a benediction to Jambavan that time will not enter inside that cave. So in other words, you don't get old there. You stay as you are. You may wonder how all this is possible. It is all possible. After all, who controls time? The wheel in Krishna's hand. That wheel what we see in Krishna's hand, Krishna has rotated that, and that keeps the time going. That is how the wheel of time is moving. And time and space are two things which we cannot understand time and space by our mind or our intelligence. We cannot comprehend that. So therefore, time and space are two things only Krishna can control. Nobody else can control except Krishna. And Krishna can control time if he wants to. Time cannot move. In other words, no change is happening. What happens with time in this world? When time goes, everything changes, isn't it? That is impact on the material nature. All the living entities gets old. All the different things are subjected to different changes. All this happening due to time. But inside the cave, there was no effect of time. Jambavan was, because of that, Jambavan had small children. They never grew up. They were children for such a long time. Jambavan hands over this jewel to the children and asks them to play with it. That goes on inside the cave. By now, what happens in Dwaraka? After a day or two, Prasena didn't come back to see Satrajit with the jewel back. Satrajit started getting worried. Not only he got worried, he started thinking what could have happened. So he went to the forest and found out that Prasena has been killed by a lion or somehow he has been killed. That much information he got. He didn't come back from his hunting mission. So what Satrajit did was, Satrajit thought that Krishna had a hand behind this, because Krishna has asked for the jewel. I didn't give it to him. So Krishna must have done something to Prasena and must have got the Samantaka jewel from Prasena. This is how he calculated something in his mind and concocted something out of it. And initially he was a bit hesitant to mention this to anybody. By little, Satrajit started talking to one or two people. A small rumors, here and there you leave it and they will catch up fire in due course. This was Satrajit's philosophy. So Satrajit did this. He spoke to one or two people whom he saw and started speaking that he is more or less sure. But don't say this to anybody, he said. You know how you say when you want to say the rumors? You will say to somebody something and then say, oh, don't say this to anybody. You know, it's very, you know, between you and me, keep it to yourself. Like, so the same thing what they did. That Satrajit also did the same thing. He says to them, many people, to 10 different people he has told, and to all of them he said, keep it to yourself. Now, how many 10 of them will keep it to themselves? This 10 will become 100, it will become a million in due course. So this whole thing became so so much spread all around Dwaraka. Krishna also came to hear about this. How did Krishna come to know about it? Uddhava, Krishna's prime minister, heard about this from some people, that Krishna was responsible for killing Satrajit and he has taken the jewel. Krishna came to know about this through Uddhava. So this time Krishna decided that I'm not going to leave it like this. Because in Ramayanam story also, Krishna, Ramachandra had to face a similar problem, isn't it? If you remember, at the end, when the washerman spoke ill about Krishna, about Sidadevi's chastity, when he spoke, that became a rumor throughout Ayodhya. Ramachandra didn't do anything about it. He could have done something if he wanted. But he thought, I will leave it to time. Let the time sort it out. In course of time, people will find out what is the truth. And eventually it happened like that. Valmiki wrote Ramayanam and the whole story came in there. And many Ayodhya Vasis and devotees realized that Ramachandra Sridhadevi had no reputation, ill reputation, she was pure. And Ramachandra's activity was criticized heavily at that time for that. So at that time, Ramachandra didn't do anything about it. Ramachandra decided that I will leave it to time. But Krishna's case, Krishna said, I'm not going to leave it like this. If Satrajit has started this, I have to find out what the truth is. So although Krishna knew everything, what was going on in this creation. So what Krishna decided was, he took a few associates with him and went to the forest, looking for Prasenna. When they came to they saw Prasenna's dead body in the forest. Krishna and the and others who went with him, they saw the dead body lying in the forest, and they also noticed a lion's footsteps going away from there. So they followed. They realized that something has happened to Prasenna. Probably lion must have attacked him or something. So they followed the footsteps of lion, and they reached in front of this cave where Jambavan was living. So when they got to the cave, Krishna told everybody who had with him that I'm going inside to find out what is inside this cave. Others were a little bit careful. They didn't know who lived inside and what danger. When you go inside the cave, you should be prepared to fight also. You may come across some personalities whom you may not be able to meet again. So that therefore, and if you get in with Jambavan for a fight, then you don't have to come back at all from there once again. There is no question. You can send your SOS home, then the job is over. So the others were hesitant to go inside. Krishna said to them, none of you should come with me because it's my bad name. I have to clear it. Krishna said to them, you should all go back to Dwaraka and let inform Rukmini and Devaki Devi and Vasudev that I'll come back after a few days. I have to get my name cleared up. So they came back and told Rukmini and Devaki Devi about this, what has happened. Krishna went inside the cave and never came out from there for a long time. What happened was, when he went inside, he saw the children playing with this jewel, Samantaka jewel. So, the Samantaka jewel, they were playing with it. They didn't know the value of it, did they? They just thought it's a nice jewel to play with. They're playing with it. And Jambavan was sitting there. But Jambavan was an old person even in Ramchandra's time. What happened was, after the war in Ramayana, the war in Sri Lanka, the whole army, Vanara army, monkeys army, Ramchandra brought them back to Ayodhya. So after that, Ramachandra gave a lot of presents to all the members of this Vanara army, his army. Ramchandra gave them all a lot of presents. So, when it came to Jambavan, Ramachandra gave him a lot of presents, but Jambavan asked Ramachandra one help. The request was that Ramachandra should marry Jambavati, Jambavan's daughter. That was Jambavan's request to Ramachandra. Ramachandra said to Jambavan, in this life, I will only accept one wife, Ekavatni Vratam. I have taken that vow. So it's not possible to change that decision. I have got Sita Devi with me. But in the next lifetime, I will marry Jambavati. So that guarantee was given in the beginning of Treta Yuga when Ramachandra was there. So Ramachandra has spoken this to Jambavan, and time has passed so long after that. From beginning of Treta Yugam to the end of Dwapara Yugam now. That is the time when Krishna came into this cave. So Jambavan, also due to some old age, his eyes and all have dropped down. You know, these eyelids, they all come down, isn't it? They fall off. And your eyesight gets affected due to old age. It happens sometimes like that. So Jambavan was sitting there, and the children went up to Jambavan and told him that some human being has come to our cave. They reported to Jambavan like this. So Jambavan tried to look at him, couldn't see very well who has come. But the smell of garland, lotus flower garland which Krishna was wearing, the smell of the lotus flowers were coming to Jambavan. And Jambavan thought that Jambavan had a lot of pride in him. Very proud person he was. Very powerful, but at the same time, very proud also. Proud of what? He was very proud that I am a direct servant of Lord Ramachandra. And anyone who comes to this cave, because of his strength, of physical strength, he used to say that I'll kill them here. I won't let anyone come to my cave so easily. He was very proud and he was very, proud of his physical strength, and he wanted to act in that way. So when Krishna came up to him, what did Jambavan do? Jambavan said, "Who are you?" And he started, "I'm going to beat you up," he said. He couldn't see very well, so he started punching Krishna very heavily on the chest. So you cannot say like that about Krishna, can you? That somebody has punched him like that. It's not proper to say like that. So generally, what is said about that is, in the Sanskrit verses when it's written, it's never spoken like that. It is spoken that he has done a Pushpanjali to you. Instead of Pushpanjali, it is punching Pushpanjali it was. It was not flower offering, but punching offering. It's also an offering, isn't it? It's also kind of offering to Krishna. Jambavan has given this offering of a few punches on the chest of Krishna. When Krishna got this offering, when Krishna is given some offering, Krishna has to give you some prasadam also, isn't it? You just cannot take everything and eat it. Normally, Krishna leaves the whole thing for us to eat as prasadam. But here, Krishna said, some prasadam I should give him now. So Krishna's prasadam started back in the same way. A lot of punches from Krishna. When Krishna's punches started coming, Jambavan started falling down on the ground. This has never happened in the history before for Jambavan. So Jambavan was feeling the pain very heavily on his chest. And when Krishna started giving, but what Krishna used to do was, he'll give a few good punches and Jambavan will fall. When he falls, Krishna will go and massage him a few minutes and give him some strength back again. As soon as he gets the strength, he'll get up again and start punching Krishna. Again, Krishna will punch him back and crush his ego, crush his pride that I am this, I am that servant of Ramachandra, I am so powerful, I am so proud of my body, health, this and that. All this pride was going day by day. 28 days, Krishna punched him heavily and also massaged him at the same time so he doesn't die, he lives. So, who was watching all these things? Jambavan's daughter, Jambavati. She was standing there and watching this. And Jambavati was thinking, who is this young, nice-looking person? He's not a bad person after all. He's punching my father, fine. But afterwards, he comes and messages him. So, he should be a good person. Otherwise, normally if there is a fight, he'll punch and kill my father. He didn't do that. But he kept punching him and massaging him also at the same time. So Jambavati, whoever it is, he's not a bad person. So Jambavati almost came up to her tip of her tongue to say to Jambavan to stop fighting and to Krishna not to fight each other like this. He couldn't do anything. It was 28 days they have fought each other like this. And by now what has happened is in Dwaraka they were in anxiety. They thought, Rukmini Devi and Devaki Devi were thinking that Krishna is not coming back because probably he couldn't find out. Maybe he got killed in the cave or what has happened, we don't know. So they started organizing special offerings and worship of Sri Parvati in the palace there. And big elaborate arrangements were made for 12 days or so from the day they decided to do this. For 12 days, very glorious worship for Sri Parvati Devi, praying to, because to whom did Sri Rukmini Devi pray to get Krishna as her husband? We saw before, Namasye Tvambike Bhishnam Sosandana Yudham Shivam Namasye Tvambike Bhishnam Sosandana Yudham Shivam Bhuyan Padirme Bhagavan Krishna Stadanimodadam. That was the prayer. So bring me Krishna as my husband. And you got Krishna as husband, but now Krishna has gone missing. So Sri Parvati, Rukmini Devi was praying to Sri Parvati again to bring back Krishna. So like this, the prayers were going on and the worship was going on in Dwaraka. Coming back to the cave again, after 28 days of severe fighting, Jambavan got up and started looking at Krishna, who it is. At that time, he saw Ramachandra's form there in Krishna. And Jambavan realized, this was my master whom I was fighting with. Immediately paid his obeisances at Krishna's lotus feet and started asking for forgiveness for the offense he has committed. Can you imagine a servant like Jambavan who was such a loyal servant of and a devotee of Lord Ramachandra had acted like this, and he was feeling a terrible guilt in his mind. Terrible guilt in his mind that Ramachandra immediately disappeared and Krishna came on the scene and spoke to Jambavan. He told Jambavan that when he realized that it was Ramachandra, Jambavan started crying. Tears started coming from his eyes. Krishna says to Jambavan, there is no need to cry. There is no need to cry at all. After all, I have come with a purpose here. So Jambavan asked him, what was the purpose? So Krishna told Jambavan that, do you remember this promise I have given you in Tridayugam when I was Ramachandra? Do you remember that promise, he said. So only then the old memory came back to Jambavan at that time, that he approached Ramachandra to marry Jambavati, and Ramachandra told Jambavan that, I'll marry Jambavati in my next appearance when I come as Krishna. I have come now to marry her. So Jambavan says to Krishna, if that was the purpose of coming here, why did you not tell me in the beginning itself? You could have avoided this 28 days of punching each other, isn't it? Why did we do all this for? Jambavan says to Krishna. Krishna says there is a reason behind it. He says to Jambavan, why did you decide to marry Jambavati to me when I was Ramachandra? Jambavan said, I saw your courage and valor in fighting, and that impressed me so much. I thought you are the right husband for my daughter. That's why I decided to marry Jambavati to you, to Ramachandra, he said. Krishna says, and that is exactly what I wanted to show to you, that even after so many years, nothing has changed in me. I am still as strong as Ramachandra was, and that courage and fighting spirit is still in me as a Kshatriya. It has not gone away from me. I wanted to show that to you, and that is why I fought with you for the last 28 days, he said. Ramachandra, these words from Krishna was so much a solace to Jambavan, and Jambavan was crying and Jambavati was smiling. He was so happy that Krishna has come to marry her, because Jambavati was attracted to Krishna so much. So Krishna takes Jambavati. After taking Jambavati, Krishna says to Jambavan, you know, the times have changed. Times have changed now. You have not given me any dowry, he says. Because I don't marry without getting dowry, he says. There is no dowry. You are not giving me any dowry. It is not like in the Ramachandra's time, he says. Now I marry only if I get my dowry, he says. So Jambavan looked at him, and Krishna says, give me that Samantaka jewel as my dowry, he says. And Krishna was joking with Jambavan about it, because Krishna told him why he had come. He had come for this jewel, Samantaka jewel, and all the bad name that Samantaka jewel has brought for him. He explained the whole background of the Samantaka jewel story to Jambavan. Jambavan handed over the jewel, handed over Jambavati also to Krishna. So Krishna was leaving the cave and going back to Dwaraka with Jambavati and the Samantaka jewel. Jambavan says to Krishna, don't rush, I am also coming to Dwaraka, he says. Jambavan is saying to Krishna, I am coming to Dwaraka. He's quite old, he was living in this cave for quite some time. Krishna says to Jambavan, there is no need for you to come to Dwaraka. Jambavan says, no, I have to come. He says, Krishna says, why? Because even the Ramayana time, I should have finished that washerman then and there for what he has done to you. But this time, I'm not going to let anyone escape with this kind of talk about you. I'll find out this Satrajit who he is. I'll smash his skull into pieces first. And so many others who talked ill about you. This was Jambavan's nature. Just like Hanuman, not much different in that sense. The spirit is so strong in them, in their mind, that Jambavan started getting ready himself to go to Dwaraka. Krishna and Jambavati told Jambavan, please don't come. You stay here and continue chanting Lord Ramchandra's name. That is what Jambavan's strength was. Jambavan all the time chanted Lord Ramchandra's name. Ramayana Maha. All the time chanting Lord Ramchandra and paying his obeisances. This was the pleasure. He has perfected the chanting the holy name of Lord Ramchandra. So that perfection has come to Jambavan, and Jambavan was totally satisfied in chanting the holy name of Ramchandra. That was his extreme happiness, and liberated soul he was in that condition, even in that body. So Jambavan continued that, and Krishna and Jambavati went back to Dwaraka, to the palace. When they got back to the palace, Rukmini Devi, and that was the last day of the worship of Sri Parvati. So they were immensely pleased that Sri Parvati has again protected them. They thought Krishna and Jambavati has come back, and they lived in the palace. Now Satrajit's Samantaka jewel has come back, isn't it? And as soon as Krishna arrived back in the palace, after the reception was over, because now it's not only Rukmini, it is Jambavati also. And Krishna decided to send a message to Satrajit to come and to collect this Samantaka jewel from there, from the palace. So he sent a message to Satrajit to come. Satrajit came there, and in the assembly of all the Yadavas who were present there, Krishna presented the Samantaka jewel to Satrajit and told him to take it and go home and not to make any more bad rumors about Krishna. This was his request to Satrajit. Satrajit felt very ashamed because he had already spoken so ill about Krishna to many people. But here Krishna was returning the jewel to Satrajit and telling him, here is your jewel, you can go home with this. He said like that. The story should have finished there, isn't it? It didn't. It goes on from now again. This is what Krishna, what I was mentioning in the beginning. Vedavyasa Maharshi and Krishna wanted to teach this world that don't chase after wealth. Wealth will not help you at any time. It will only become anartham at some stage. So, Satrajit goes home with this Samantaka jewel. When he went home, by now the news spread all over Dwaraka that Krishna has found this jewel in the forest and handed it over to Satrajit. So the people started talking ill about Satrajit. People will talk in both ways. One time they'll talk good about you. The next day they can talk bad about you also. That's the common nature of the population. So they started saying that this Satrajit is a real rascal who has spread so much bad name about Krishna unnecessarily, not knowing. And now that he has got his jewel back, we should avoid him as much as possible because he's a dangerous person. This, that and the other, all kinds of things. They started talking about Satrajit. Satrajit got disgusted with the whole thing. Then he thought that I shouldn't have spoken like this about Krishna. But what can you do? All done now. What can you do? So people are becoming very angry with Satrajit. Satrajit could not go to the market, go anywhere else, could not meet anyone because everyone started looking at him in a very contemptuous manner. So Satrajit goes home and he says to Satyabhama like this. Satyabhama is only daughter and they are together there. So Satyabhama was watching this change, what was happening in Satrajit every day. He was getting more and more depressed about it. Although he had all this money and Samantaka jewel, everything, his reputation was very weakened in the public. And therefore he was feeling very disappointed about everything. So Satyabhama noticed the changes what was happening in Satrajit. So one day Satyabhama goes to Satrajit and tells him, why are you so upset? So Satrajit says to Satyabhama that look at my situation, it is like this, that I have worshipped sun god, he gave me the Samantaka jewel, Krishna asked for it, I didn't give it to him. And now then I spoke to people that when Prasena lost his life, I out of depression, I spoke to people that Krishna must have taken it. That's the only thing I could think about. But Satyabhama said to Satrajit, this is not a big issue, she said. After all, if Krishna is upset with you, he would have done something about it, but he's not upset with you. You are simply in your mind building up all these things about Krishna. And so many things happen in life. Look at what happened to Krishna in Jambavan. Krishna went and had a big fight with Jambavan. But at the end, what did Jambavan do? How did he get out of the situation? He asked like this. And she said like this and didn't say one word after that. That was it. Satrajit got the message. message was this. What did Jambavan do? At the end, Jambavan handed over his daughter and also the Samantaka jewel to Krishna, and everything was sorted immediately with that, isn't it? So in other words, Satyabhama was saying to Satrajit, why don't you also do the same thing? Satyabhama's way of speaking, this is implied in that. Satyabhama spoke in such a way that why don't you hand over me along with Samantaka jewel to Krishna and live peacefully in this house without any problems. As soon as Satrajit understood what Satyabhama was trying to point out, she held Satyabhama's hand, let's go to Dwaraka to see Krishna. And with the Samantaka jewel and Satyabhama, Satrajit comes to the palace and comes to Krishna and says to Krishna that please accept Satyabhama as your wife, my daughter Satyabhama as your wife. Krishna says, that is no problem, I will marry Satyabhama as you wish. But please take this Samantaka jewel also. Keep it here. He says to Krishna. Satrajit says to Krishna. Krishna says, no. Keep that Samantaka jewel with you. After all, whether it is with me or with you, what does it matter? You have only one daughter, Satyabhama. And after your time, naturally all the wealth will come to Satyabhama. Generally the mundane way of speaking, isn't it? Mundane conversation this is. And Krishna is actually acting like a typical mundane householder in this world. He says to Satrajit, keep the jewel with you. Don't worry about it. If it is there also, it is mine because it's Satyabhama. Now we are through marriage, we have a relationship. This, that and the other. Krishna was talking all these things anyway. So Satrajit took the jewel and came back. Satyabhama number 3 now. Rukmini 1, Jambavati 2, Satyabhama 3. Sri Sugan says there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, keep counting, he says, how many more are coming afterwards. And it is the beauty of Krishna's grahastha ashramam is such. And in all these marriages, no attachment anywhere. Anything can happen in household life. So many things comes and goes. Unaffected by everything. Triloki grahasthaya Vishnu namaste. This is the word from the acharyas about it. Triloki grahastha. In all the three worlds, this household life is celebrated. So, Satrajit goes back with the jewel home. At least Satyabhama is got married now. We have a relationship with Krishna and Satrajit has a relationship now. So Satrajit carries on with life. In the meanwhile, what happened was, there were other Yadavas also. There was the commander-in-chief of Krishna's army who was known as Kridavarma. And there was another Yadava also who was their friends called Shatadhanva. So Shatadhanva, Kridavarma also there. And there was also our old Akrura, Krishna's uncle, was also in Dwaraka at that time. So one day it so happened that Akrura, Kridavarma and Shatadhanya, they meet each other together and spend some time together. Often they meet each other. They were friends. And it was known that Satrajit had promised to hand over Satyabhama in marriage to Shatadhanya. Shatadhanya was given a promise by Satrajit that he will marry his daughter Satyabhama to Shatadhanva, which didn't happen now because Krishna married Satyabhama. So what happens was, when one of those days when a meeting happened, our Akrura and Kridavarma, just for a joke, you know how it is, people like to make joke of each other, isn't it? And sometimes it's a bit cruel, and when if you don't understand it's a joke and you start acting on that, it can cause problems also. So what happened was, Akrura and Kridavarma, they met Shatadhanya, and during their meeting they mentioned to Shatadhanya like this, Shatadhanya, what has happened? You are supposed to get married to Satyabhama. They knew what all has happened, but still they raised this question to them. Shatadhanya felt a little uneasy because he thought that Krishna has married Satyabhama and Akrura, Satrajit doesn't care very much about him, and he felt a little bad about it. So he kept quiet. He didn't say anything for a minute. And then Kridavarma said, what are you going to do now about it? He said. Shatadhanya says, what can I do? Satyabhama is already married and Krishna has married her. Akrura says at that time to Shatadhanya, what happened to Satrajit's brother, Prasena? he went to the abode of Yamaraja. Or in other words, he is dead, isn't it? Can the same thing not happen to Satrajit also? That much he said and kept quiet, didn't say anything further. That was sometime in the afternoon. And then by evening, they all left, they dispersed themselves. And Akrura went for his evening bathing in the river and also for Sandhyavandanam and all other ceremony, you know, his normal ablutions and the evening spiritual duties. He went to do that. So Akrura went that way. Kridavarma also went away. Shatadhanya have gone home and started thinking, why did Akrura say like that? That why Satrajit don't follow the same route as Prasena, his brother? Does he mean to say that I should do something about it because of breaking promise? And I should also send Satrajit to the higher worlds from here. I should take revenge on Satrajit, he thought like this. He not only thought like that, he concluded that's what is required. And he took the decision and went straight to Satrajit's house and killed him. Shatadhanya killed Satrajit. Just see, this one jewel, Samantaka jewel, it started day one with giving 8 kilos of gold, and how many lives going one after the other because of that. So he killed Satrajit and took the Samantaka jewel. He finished, he had felt some revenge towards Satrajit and finished that. Took the jewel and came back to Akrura. Akrura by now has finished all his evening programs, and he was sitting at home when Shatadhanya walked in with this jewel in the hand. So Akrura felt a bit strange that Shatadhanya has come back at that time with the jewel. And Shatadhanya says to Akrura, I have killed Satrajit and I brought this jewel, he said. Akrura got frightened. Why? Because he felt that this is not going to end here. Because by now, Krishna and Balaram were not there in the palace. In the morning, when Satyabhama come to know about it, among all the wives of Krishna, Satyabhama is very special. She is a real strong personality. I do not know how to say that in English, because her nature is such, she won't give away easily things. If she is determined, she is really determined. She is not like Rukmini Devi, Jambavati, Kalindi or anyone else like that. If she wants a fight, she will fight. She will fight it to the very bitter end. That is how she is. And Krishna enjoyed that, Satyabhama's nature in like that. So Satyabhama, everyone was a little worried about Satyabhama. Satyabhama won't leave things like that. So Akrura knew about it. And Akrura knew what can happen. So Akrura said to Shatadhanya, what I have got to do with it? You have gone and killed Satrajit and you have taken the jewel from him. I have nothing to do with it. Don't involve me in this, he said. Because of the fear of Satyabhama doing something about it. And if Krishna comes to know about it. So Shatadhanya said, you told me to send Satrajit also to the other world. That's why I acted on your words, he said. He tried to bring Kadavarma and Akrura also. Akrura has just spoken in a joking way. But he took it not as a joke, as a serious thing. Because of his mind was completely affected by the whole thing. And Shatadhanya had done this. So what did he do? He threw the whole jewel, Samantaka jewel, into Akrura's house and ran away from there. Escaped from there. He wanted to escape. Because he knew that if Krishna come to know, his head won't go. So Shatadhanya escaped. So who is left now? Akrura and Kridavarma is left there. And Akrura has got this Samantaka jewel in his hand. Satyabhama in the morning came to know that Satrajit has been killed. My father has been killed, she realized. Immediately she took the chariot and drove to Hastinapur. Krishna and Balaram were in Hastinapur at that time. Why? Because there the news was spread that Pandavas were burned in the house which was made of lac. And that in that, the Pandavas had got burnt and Kunti Devi, everyone. And hearing this, Krishna and Balaram has gone to Hastinapur to pay their condolences to Dhritarashtra Maharaj, because he's their family members, isn't it? When they went there, Dhritarashtra Maharaj was weeping, showing his crocodile tears of losing Kunti Devi and the Pandavas, because they got burned. It's a famous story in the Mahabharata how the fire the house was built of lac, and the whole thing was set fire in the night. How the tunnel was dug by Vidura's instructions, and they escaped through the tunnel in the night, and which was unknown to Dhritarashtra. So Krishna and Balaram had gone to Hastinapur to tell Dhritarashtra to pay their condolences to him. It was then that Satyabhama arrives there with the chariot, and she came and told Krishna and Balaram that her father has been killed, Satyasraya has been killed. As soon as Krishna and Balaram heard this, Krishna and Balaram showed a lot of tears came out from there. It was all show externally. There was no feeling. Krishna is not affected by anyone's death or anyone's birth either. But in order to show the mundane world how one acts, Krishna also shed a lot of tears and pacified Satyabhama. Otherwise, Satyabhama would have created a lot of trouble for Krishna there also. So Krishna, knowing very well, you have to see different situations how Krishna reacted. When Satyabhama arrived and her father was killed, Krishna, Satyabhama said, I need to find out who has done that and take revenge on them, and they should be punished straight away. So Krishna and Balaram and Satyabhama comes back to Dwaraka. So when they came back to Dwaraka, immediately Krishna didn't start the investigation. Krishna knew all what has happened, everything what was going on. Krishna took the dress of a Yadava that night, another Yadava's form, and went to Akrura's house and told Akrura, leave this place immediately. If you stay here, you will be in trouble. And Akrura didn't know it was Krishna who had come to tell him this. Akrura got the message. He got frightened. He told Kadavarma, and both of them left Dwaraka. And they went to Kashi, to Banaras. They went to Banaras. So what can you do? Normally, who goes to Banaras? Mostly it is sannyasis who go there, isn't it? But it is a place for sannyasis and the brahmacharis. Mostly they are the people who goes to Banaras in all the time from immemorial. It is the way Lord Shiva and Shivarvati is worshipped. There's two big temples, Vishveshwara temple, Kashi Visheshwara temple, Lord Shiva's, and Shivarvati Annapurneshwari. She is worshipped there. So what happened was, Akrura has become now the guru, and Kridavarmavis is his disciple. So this guru and the disciple goes to Banaras, change their clothes, everything, big beard, white beard, and saffron clothes. And the guru and the chela arrives in Banaras. So they escape from Dwaraka. So when they went back, when they went there, here investigation started. They came to know that Shatadhanya has killed Satrajit. So Krishna and Balaram started finding out where Shatadhanya is. They came to know Shatadhanya is in Mithila. So they went to Mithila to find out what Shatadhanya is doing there. They found him out and they beat him to death. They killed him there. They couldn't get the Samantaka jewel from him. They didn't get it. So by now, Balaram started suspecting there is something behind this whole scene. Krishna is not telling me the whole truth. There is something going on, he says to himself. Best thing is, as usual, Balaram said, best thing is for me to keep away from this. So what did Balaram do? Balaram says to Krishna that this king of Mithila is my friend. I would like to spend some time here. You go back to Dwaraka and find out who has done this. And after everything is sorted out, you just let me know. I'll come back then. Balaram said like this and sent Krishna back to Dwaraka. So Balaram stayed back in Mithila. By now, through spies, the spying situations were also there those days. Through spies, Dhritarashtra Maharaj came to know that there is some problem in Dwaraka happening. Krishna and Balaram are not in very good terms anymore. It looks that Balaram has left Dwaraka and he is living in Mithila with the king of Mithila. There must be some misunderstanding between them. They got some piece of information like this. As soon as he heard this, he caught hold of the hand of Duryodhana and told him, come on, let's go now. We'll go and see Balaram and talk to him, he said. Now, you may think Dhritarashtra was a blind person, but is he blind or is he more, his eyes are better than any of us? He could immediately sense what is good for him, because he wanted this split in Dwaraka to happen This is what he was waiting for. If a split happens between Krishna and Balaram, he will know he can get the help of Balaram at least to fight against Krishna. Because Krishna was supporting the Pandavas. That was the main problem. And Dhritarashtra, in spite of the fact that he knew who Krishna is, still wanted, could not make a relationship, listen to Krishna's instructions, even when he came to Hastinapur. So as soon as this happened, Krishna, Dhritarashtra took hold of Duryodhana and comes to Mithila. Comes there and tells his son Duryodhana, pay your obeisances now to Balaram. And Duryodhana also pays his obeisances. And Dhritarashtra also, and says to Balaram like this with folded hands, my son Duryodhana would like to learn the art of fighting with the club from you. Please teach him, he says to Balaram. So when a Kshatriya comes and says something like this, a request to teach fighting, another Kshatriya cannot refuse that. And so therefore Balaram accepted the position of the teacher. Actually, Dhritarashtra's position was this, that one day, if a war develops, there will be a fight between Duryodhana and Bhimasena. Physically, Duryodhana could not cope with Bhimasena. Bhimasena was too strong. But at least, if Duryodhana had the skill better than Bhimasena, at least he will be able to have a good match towards Bhimasena. This was going through Dhritarashtra's mind. So that you will see later on, when the last time, at the end of Mahabharata war, when the fight started between Duryodhana and Bhimasena, it lasted for many days because Bhimasena could not beat Duryodhana, because Duryodhana had learned the fighting, the skills from Lord Balaram, and that is what it has happened. Balaram, without foreseeing what could happen in the future, taught everything to Duryodhana. He knew that it could be a problem, but he didn't take very serious note of it. So he taught everything to Duryodhana at this time when this happened in Mithila. After that, Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana went back to Hastinapur. Krishna came back to Dwaraka, and when he came back to Dwaraka, he heard that there is that they could not find the Samantaka jewel. By now, things were developing in Dwaraka in a different way. The situation was changing so fast that people were experiencing a lot of distress. A lot of distress due to what? Due to failure of the rain, and there was drought in Dwaraka. Things like that should not happen in Dwaraka after due to the presence of Krishna and Rukmini Devi there. But such things were happening and people were getting very upset about it. So it was then that the Yadavas assembly started meeting together. Ugrasena Maharaja, King Ugrasena, and so many others were present there, and there was a big discussion about it, why things are happening like this in Dwaraka. It was then that Krishna spoke very openly in the assembly that the reason for all this is that there is no great personalities in Dwaraka anymore, and that is the cause of this unhappiness, and this will only go if you bring some great people back to Dwaraka again. So everybody started asking, who is that pious and devotee people who should come back to Dwaraka? Krishna says, don't you remember Akrura? He has gone away. By now, 12 years have gone. And normally in those days, if there was no case registered against anyone about a murder or anything like that, the case was dropped after that. So by now, 12 years have gone, and Akrura was living in Benares all this time with Kudavarma. And what was happening there? Because of the Samantaka jewel, Akrura was receiving so much gold every day. So much gold. As I mentioned before, like Satrajit had, Akrura also had so much gold. Now, if money is in the right hands, in the right people, the money will be used properly. So what Akrura did? Akrura used all the wealth to rebuild the temple. Lord Shiva's temple in Benares, Sri Parvati's temple, Annapurneshwari's temple in Benares, and spent a lot of money in building the different bathing ghats all around for the people who come on pilgrimage to Benares, wanted to look after them and protect them, and all facilities for them to stay, or clothes, blankets, things like that for them. Every facility who came to Benares were provided by Akrura and Kridavarma who were there. So Akrura was living like a sannyasi there, like a guru, and Kridavarma was his disciple. And they were, that's how incognito they were living. They have not disclosed their identity to anybody. By now Akrura has become well known in Benares as Dhanapati, one who is highly charitable, as he is the king among the persons who give the charities. So what happened was, in Dwaraka, this was known that Akrura was living there. Krishna knew about it. So Krishna spoken to the assembly about it, and decided to send a couple of soldiers to Benares to invite Akrura back to Dwaraka again. The soldiers went to fetch Akrura and Kridavarma to bring them back. When they came on the horses, approaching closer, Akrura and Kridavarma got frightened seeing them. The soldiers had come from Dwaraka. So they thought perhaps the case has been found out, and that they must have thought that both of us have some hand in the conspiracy of killing Satrajit. That is why the soldiers are coming. So the guru says to the chela, what shall we do now? Chela also says to the guru, what shall we do now? Both each other looking at each other. The army has, the patrol, the policeman has come on the horses. As soon as they came, they got down from the horses, looks at Akrura and Kridavarma. Are you this famous Dhanapati Akrura? They says to him. Akrura says, yes. This must be your disciple, isn't it? Akrura says, yes. Both of them says, yes. I have instructions from Dwaraka to bring both of you back to Dwaraka, he said. So there was no escape now. Dwaraka had to go to Dwaraka. So both of them were put on the horses, and the soldiers brought them back. All the way back, they never spoke one word to each other, neither to the soldiers. They were inquiring to, not about the case, but they inquired to the soldiers, is Krishna and Balaram still there? They said, yes, they are there. They would like to see you. They said. Akura's heart was pounding inside. What is Krishna going to do? Because Krishna knew that he had a hand in this whole scene, conspiracy of murder, big crime. So when he got there, Krishna invited them both to the palace. But one thing he noticed when he entered the city of Dwaraka, there were big placards and billboards everywhere welcoming Akrura and Kridavarma back to Dwaraka. Only then a little relief for Akrura. There is some change in the heart of Krishna's heart. Perhaps otherwise, why all these billboards? He was thinking like that. As soon as they entered into the palace, that Krishna invited them to come and speak to the whole assembly. Krishna says to them that because of this Samantaka jewel and because of Satrajit's death, we had a lot of unfortunate things happening in the palace. And because of that, everyone was in distress. So we have invited you back to come here and to stay here. By your presence, we will be benefited. Like this, Krishna spoke about Akrura. And Krishna wanted Akrura to report about the whole incident from the death of Satrajit onwards so that everyone can hear what has happened. So Akrura spoke in detail from the day Satrajit, how the whole thing developed into the murder of Satrajit and Shatadanya running away. And Krishna knew very well, actually Akrura had no share in this conspiracy. It was only a joke. Jokingly he said something, but Shatadanya had taken the major responsibility in killing Satrajit. Akrura didn't have anything to do with it. Krishna was aware of that. So Krishna had no plan to punish Akrura or Kridavarma for that. But when it came out from Akrura's mouth, what has actually happened, all the members of the assembly, Adava assembly, Sudharma, what it was called, they all felt very happy. They requested Akrura and Kridavarma to live there with the Samantaka jewel. And that is how that story ends. Krishna got rid of the Krishna got rid of his bad name by this particular pastime. What is important about this pastime is that at the end of this pastime, Sukadeva Goswami gives a benediction to them, though who wants to, who hear this story. What is that benediction? Benediction is this. Yastvedal Bhagavadamishwarasya Vishno Viryadhyam Vrijinaharam Sumangalamcha Akhyanam Padadi Shrinodi Anusmaredva Dushkirtim Duridam Abohayati Shandim. This is the benediction. One who hears this particular pastime of Krishna, which has removed the bad fame what has come to Krishna. Dushkirtim duridam apohayati shandim. So one who has, who became due to some circumstances, sometime in this world also, you may become an enemy to someone. That can happen always, knowingly or unknowingly. You may have not done anything to that person. But sometimes it can happen that someone becomes your bitter enemy. And when you become an enemy, sometimes it can go to the extreme. That person may create a bad name for you or for anyone for that matter by speaking ill about you, releasing different kinds of rumors about you and try to implicate you in some way so that the people will speak about you in a bad way. So this was what Dushkirtim. So like what has happened to Krishna. So here, Sukadeva Goswami says there, Yastedal Bhagavadamishwarasya Vishno Viryadhyam Vrijinaharam Sumangalam Ja. That this pastime of Krishna, where such a thing has happened to Krishna, which Krishna has eliminated by properly executing all investigation properly, Vrijinaharam Sumangalam Ja. Akhyanam Padadi Shrinodi Anusmaredhyal. One who studies this particular pastime of Krishna, this Akhyanam, or Padadi, one who studied Shrinodi, one who hears this, Anusmaredya, and one who remembers this, Dushkirtim Duridamabohya Yadishandim, he'll be released from all kinds of ill fame, what comes to him in this world. Generally, most of the people do not care now what happens, because this ill fame is only for those who are very concerned about their position in this world. Because most of us have got so used to it now, people talking about you from front side, back side, without you, with you. It becomes such a daily affair, then you start thinking, this is the world, what can be done? That's how you deal with it, because that's all you can do. But those who have high reputation, like Krishna, like Lord Shiva, they cannot tolerate such things, because there is no black mark in any of their history for any time for them. So therefore, they will take action. And therefore, those who are like that, who have that fear of getting a bad name. Fear means a shame that comes from that people are speaking about me like this, or who feel respectful to the society and to themselves. Such personalities, they'll have to care for these things. In our case, all this doesn't very much apply. Yastedal Bhagavadamishwarasya Vishnor Viryadhyam Vrijinaharam Sumangalamja Akhyanam Padadi Shrinodi Anusmaredva Dushkirtim Duridam Abohya Yadishandim. This is the benediction what Sukadeva Goswami has given to this Satraj's episode. Now, what does it say to us more? That when, number one thing, that in household life, as I mentioned before, as soon as you get married, the next thing what stands is about the children. Children are the next important thing in married life. And then the desire for having children, having children who are good children, all these desires will be there in the family life. And as I mentioned before, sometime you may not have children. And then also it becomes a distressful situation. Sometimes you may have children, but they are not listening. They do what they like and they go in the wrong direction, another distress. Sometimes you will have children and then they leave you, another distress. Sometimes they leave you, they come back again and they bring you more distress afterwards, again distress. So what all this is telling us is that don't take this householder life too seriously. If you take, you suffer. That's all. That's the message. Krishna is saying very openly. And then second thing, what after that is, that if you do not handle householder life in that way, you will simply get affected by that and it will be driven along with that to the a distressful condition throughout life and leave this world in distress. Nothing you gain from this. This is the message coming through from that. Krishna's activities in householder life is only to teach us these things. Secondly, after doing all that, next thing, what happens in life? Once you have a family, what is the next thing? We want money, isn't it? Everybody wants millions. Millions and millions will help, they think. Because then the excuse is there. Oh, I got my family to look after, so I need millions to look after them. Instead of giving them to Sabji and Chapati, that's not enough. You make the plans for them also a few generations, and then you want millions for that. So you start making plans for acquiring wealth. And if you chase after wealth, Krishna says, artham will make anartham for you. Through the story of Satrajit, that message is coming. Don't go after wealth. Wealth is not the answer to the problems of life. Wealth will not help you. Family won't help you. Children cannot help you. Nothing can help you. Only who can help you is Krishna. So that is why, in order to drive this, bring this renunciation and detachment to the heart of the householder, these pastimes of Krishna is coming one after the other. Krishna's householder life, one of the most beautiful pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is one follows after the other. After this particular pastime, there is the next pastime of Krishna and Rukmini Devi together. Before we start discussing that, let's read through these chapters and then we will continue with that. Chapter, we read this chapter of, we read 55, we finish 55, we'll start with 56. Shri Shuka Uvacham. Shri Shuka Uvacham. Satrajidasvatanayam Krishnaya Kritagilbisha Samandagena Manina Swayamudyam Adattavan. Shri Raja Uvacham. Satrajidakimagarol Brahman Krishnaya Gilbisham Samandaga Kudastasya Kasmaldata Sudahare. Shri Shuka Uvacham. Asil Satrajida Suryo Bhaktasya Paramasakha Pridas Tasmai Manim Pradal Suryas Tushta Samandagaha Sadam Bibhran Manim Kandhe Brajamano Yadharavi Pravishto Dwaragam Rajam Stejasa Nopalakshidaha Tam Vilokya Janadura Tejasa Mushto Drishtayaha Divyade Chair Bhagavade Shashamso Surya Shangidaha Narayana Namastestu Shanga Chakra Gadadhara Damodara Aravindaksha Govinda Yadunandana Yashamayadina Savida Twam Didursha Jagalpade Mushman Gavrasti Jakrena Nanam Chachum Shitigmago Nanvani Chandide Margam Trilokyam Vibhudarshabhaha Nyatvadya Gudham Yadusho Drashtam Tvam Yatyaja Prabho. Shri Shuka Uvacham. Nishamya Bala Vajanam Prahasya Ambujalojanaha Prahamasau Ravir Deva Satrajan Manina Jvalan Satrajil Sugriham Shriman Kridagauduga Mangalam Pravishya Deva Sadani Manim Viprair Nyaveshayal Dine Dine Surnabhara Ashtausa Sravati Prabho Durbhikshamaya Ishtani Sarpadi Vyadhayo Shubhaha Nasandivayana Satra Yatra Sebhyarchido Mani
సయాజితో మణిం క్వామి యదురాజాయ శౌరిణ దైవార్థ కాముగ ప్రాదాద్యజ్ఞా భంగమదర్కయన్ తమేగదామణిం కంఠే ప్రతిముచ్య మహాప్రభం ప్రసేనో హయమారుహ్య మృగయాం వ్యజరధ్వనిం ప్రసేనం సహయం హత్వా మణిమాచ్ఛిద్య కేసరి గిరిం విషంజాం భవద నిహదో మణిమిచ్ఛదాః సోభిచక్రే కుమారస్య మణిం క్రీడనగం బిలే అపశ్యన్ భ్రాధరం భ్రాత సత్రాజిల్ పర్యదప్యదాం ప్రాయకృష్ణేన నిహదో మణిగ్రీయో వనం గదా భ్రాత మమేది శ్రుత్వా కర్ణే కర్ణే జభంజనాః భగవాం సదుపశ్రుత్య దుర్యశో లిప్తమాత్మని మాష్టం ప్రసేన పదవి అన్వపద్యనాగరేయ హతం ప్రసేనమశ్వం చ వీక్షకేసరినావనే తం చాద్రిపృష్టే నిహతం వృక్షేణా దదృశుర్జనాః వృక్షరాజబిలం భీమం అంధేనా తమసావృతం ఏకో వివేశ భగవాన్ అవస్థాప్య బహి ప్రజాః తత్ర దృష్ట్వా మణిశ్రేష్టం బాలక్రీడనగం కృతం హర్తుం కృతమదిస్తస్మిన్ అవదాస్తేర్భగాందిగే తమ పూర్వం దరం దృష్ట్వా ధాత్రీ చుక్రోషభీదవల్ తచ్చుత్వా భద్రవల్ క్రుద్ధో జాంబవాన్ బలినాం వరాః సవై భగవదో యేన యుయుధే స్వామినాల్పన పురుషం ప్రాకృతం మత్వా కుపిదో నానుభావవిల్ ద్వంద్వయుద్ధం సుతుములం ఉభయోర్విజిగీషదో ఆయుధాశ్మద్రుమేర్ధోర్భే క్రవ్యార్థే శేనయోరివాం ఆసీత్తదష్టావింశాహం ఇదరేదరముష్టిభి వజ్రనిష్పేషపరుషై అవిశ్రమమహర్నిశం కృష్ణముష్టివినిష్పాదం నిష్పిష్టాంగోరుబంధనాః క్షీణసత్వాస్మిన్నగాత్రం తమాహాదివ విస్మితాః జానే త్వాం సర్వభూతానాం ప్రాణమోజా సహోబలం విష్ణుం పురాణపురుషం ప్రభ విష్ణుం అధీశ్వరం త్వం హి విశ్వసృజాం స్రష్ట సృజ్యానామపి యచ్చసల్ కాలం కాలయదా కలయదామీశం పరమాత్మా తథాత్మనాం యస్యేష దుల్కలితరోషకటాక్షమోక్షేర్ వర్మాదిశల్క్షుభిదనక్రతిమింగలో త్రిమింగలోబ్ధి సేతుకృత స్వయసముజ్వలితా చ లంగారక్షాశిరాంసి భూవి పేదురిషుక్షదానీ ఇది విజ్ఞాత విజ్ఞానం వృక్షరాజానమచ్యుత వ్యాజహార మహారాజ భగవాన్ దేవగీ సుదా అభిమృశ్య అరవిందాక్షాపాణినా శంకరేణదం కృపయా పరయా భక్తం ప్రేమ గంభీరయా గిరా మణిహేదోరిహ ప్రాప్త వయం వృక్షవదే బిలం మిథ్యాభిషాపం ప్రమృజన్ ఆత్మనో మణినామునాం ఇత్యక్త స్వాం దుహితరం కన్యాం జాంబవదీ ముదా అర్హణార్థం సమణినాం కృష్ణాయోపజాహారః అదృష్ట్వా నిర్గమం శౌరే ప్రవిష్టస్య బిలం జన ప్రతీక్ష్యా ద్వాదశాహాని దుఃఖితా సుపురం యయో నిశమ్య దేవగీ దేవి రుక్మిణ్యానగదుందువి సుహృదో జ్ఞాతయో శోజన్ బిలాల్ కృష్ణమనిర్గతం సత్రాజితం శబందస్థే దుఃఖితా ద్వారగౌగస ఉపదస్థోర్మహామాయాం దుర్గాం కృష్ణోపలబ్ధయే తేషాం దూదేవ్యుపస్థానాల్ ప్రత్యాదిష్టాశిషాసజ ప్రదుర్భవూవ సిద్ధార్థం సదారో హర్షయన్ హరి ఉపలభ్య హృషీకేశం మృతం నరివాగతం సహవత్న్యా మణిగ్రీవం సర్వే జాతమహోత్సవాః సత్రాజిదం సమాహూయ సభాయాం రాజసన్నిధౌ చాప్తిం ప్రాప్తిం చాఖ్యాయ భగవాన్ మణిం తస్మై న్యవేదయల్ స జాతి వ్రీడితో రత్నం గృహీత్వా వాముఖస్తదా అనుదప్యమానో భవనం అగమల్ స్వేన వాప్మనా సోనుధ్యాయం సదేవాఘం బలవద్విగ్రహాకుల కథం రజామ్యాల్పరజా ప్రసీదేద్వాచ్యుత కథం కిం కృత్వా సాధు మహ్యం స్యాన్న శబేద్వో శబేద్వా జనో యథా అదీర్ఘదర్శనం క్షుద్రం మూఢం ద్రవిణలోలుపం దాస్యే దుహితరం తస్మై శ్రీరత్నం రత్నమేవ జ ఉపాయోయం సమీచీనం సస్య శాంతిర్న చాన్యథాః ఏవం వ్యవసితో బుద్ధ్యా సత్రాజిల్ సుసుదాం శుభాం మణిం చ స్వయముద్యమ కృష్ణయోపజహారః తాం సత్యభామాం భగవాన్ ఉభయేమే యథావిధి బహుభిర్యాచిదాం శీలం రూపౌదార్య గుణాన్వితాం భగవానాహనమణిం ప్రతీచ్ఛామో వయం నృప తవాస్తం దేవభక్తస్య వయం చ బలభాగినా. ఇది శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాపురాణే.
പരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം ദശമസ്കന്ധേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ സമന്തകോപാഖ്യാനം നാമ ഷൽപഞ്ചശാതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. That I will read these words also from Sridharacharya Swamiji. Sridharacharya Swamiji says about this. Putra adhikama saukhyasya nishtuva muktuva adhi chanchalam arthasya anarthadamaha simanda haranadinam. That in the previous chapter, Sridharacharya Swamiji says here, that was the chapter before the story of Pradyumna, where he says, Pradyumna anilabha adhi shambara haranadina കുടുംബിനാമപത്യാദി സുഖദുഃഖമസൂ സുജൽ. ദാറ്റ് ദ റീസൺ വൈ പ്രദ്യുമ്നസ് അപ്പിയറൻസ് ആൻഡ് ഡിസപ്പിയറൻസ് വാസ് ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദിസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഈസ് ടു ഷോ ടു ദ പീപ്പിൾ ദാറ്റ് നോ മാറ്റർ ഹൗ ഗ്രേറ്റ് യു ആർ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ആൻഡ് ഡിസ്ട്രസ് ഈസ് അൺഅവോയ്ഡബിൾ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് എ മെസ്സേജ് ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് പാസ്റ്റ് ടൈം, ദാറ്റ് ഇൻസിഡന്റ് ഓഫ് പ്രദ്യുമ്ന. When Pradyumna was stolen, isn't it? Pradyumna was stolen and Krishna could have done something about it. After all, Krishna is Supreme Personality. He didn't do anything about it. And he also had to accept that. That is to show to the world that this will happen to anyone, whoever it is, no matter who it is. And that is that pastime of Pradyumna. Sridharacharya Swamiji says here like that. That is what was shown through that pastime in that chapter. And this chapter, which I just read, Sridharacharya Swamiji says there, പുത്രാദികാമ സൗഖ്യസ്യ നിഷ്ഠവാ മുക്ത്വാദി പഞ്ചലം ചഞ്ചലം അർത്ഥസ്യ അനർത്ഥതാമഹ സ്യമന്ദ ഹരണാദിനാഹ. ദാറ്റ് ഫസ്റ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ വാണ്ടഡ് ടു ഷോയിങ് ദാറ്റ് ദി ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ഫ്രം ഹാവിംഗ് ഫാമിലി ലൈഫ് ആൻഡ് ചിൽഡ്രൻ ഈസ് ഓൾസോ വെരി ഷെയ്ക്കി. സിമിലർലി ഓൾസോ ദ മണി, ഇഫ് യു ചേസ് ഫോർ മണി ഇൻ ലൈഫ്, ദാറ്റ് വിൽ ഓൾസോ ബിക്കം എ ഡിസാസ്റ്റർ ഫോർ യു ലേറ്റർ ഓൺ, ബിക്കോസ് ദാറ്റ് ക്യാൻ ബ്രിങ് കറ്റാസ്ട്രോഫി ഇൻ ലൈഫ്. In so many cases, you see this happening all the time. But still, illusion is telling us all the time that will make us happy, isn't it? Who doesn't like money in this world? Everyone is counting all the time. But at the same time, Krishna is saying here that if you run after money in life, even if you are a householder needs money more than anyone else. And he has many excuses also to make, that if I don't have money, how will I manage? I have to pay my bills and all the other justification from there. And initially it's all paying bills, but afterwards paying bills develops into something different. When will that pursuit for wealth stop? It will never stop. It continues day after day in some pretext or the other. And that is how the whole life is wasted. And then is he happy at the end after doing all these things? At least at the end he leaves this world in total disgust. This is what has happened in majority of the cases in this world. So Krishna is saying to the householder, don't chase after wealth. That is not going to, artham is going to be anartham for you. And that is what the story of the Samantaka jewel and Satrajit story was showing to us.
Putra adhikama saukhyasya nishtava muktavadi chanchalam arthasya anarthadamaha simanda haranadinam.
And then in the next chapter, അക്കൂരമുദരീകൃത്യമണി പാത്രമധാച്യുത ഉപാമന്ത്രതമേകാന്തേ സരാമോഗാൽഗജാഹ്വയം. ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ദാറ്റ് ബ്രിംഗിംഗ് ബാക്ക് ദി സമന്തക ജ്വൽ ആൻഡ് ഗെറ്റിംഗ് റിഡ് ഓഫ് ദി ബാഡ് നെയ്മ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ഗോട്ട് ആൻഡ് റിവാർഡിംഗ് അക്കൂര വിത്ത് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദിസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ. സോ ഐ വിൽ ജസ്റ്റ് റീഡ് ദിസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ആൻഡ് ദെൻ വിൽ മൂവ് ഓൺ ടു ദി നെക്സ്റ്റ് വൺ. ശ്രീ ശുഗവാചാം വിജ്ഞാതാർത്ഥോപി ഗോവിന്ദോ ദഗ്ധാനാദർണ്യ പാണ്ഡവാൻ കുന്തീഞ്ച കല്യകരണേ സഹരാമോയയോ കുരുൻ ഭീഷ്മം കൃപം സവിതുരം ഗാന്ധാരീം ദ്രോണമേവ ജാ തുല്യ ദുഃഖൗജ സംഗമ്യം ഹാ കഷ്ടാമിതി ഹോചതു ലബ്ധോയിതന്തരം രാജൻ ശതധന്വാനമോചതു അക്രൂരാകൃതവർമാണോ മണികസ്മാർ ന ഗൃഹ്യതേ യോസ്മഭ്യം സമ്പ്രതിശ്രുത്യ കന്യാരത്നം വികർഹിന കൃഷ്ണായാദാന്ന സത്രാജൽ കസ്മാൽ ഭ്രാതരമന്യുയാൽ ഏവം ഭിന്നമതിസ്ഥാഭ്യം സത്രാജിതമസത്തമാ ശയാനമവധിയിൽ ലോപാൽ സഭാപാക്ഷീണ ജീവിതാഹ സ്ത്രീണാം വിക്രോശമാനാം ക്രന്ദം നീ നാമനാഥവൽ ഹത്വാപശുൻ സൈനികവൻ മണിമാതായ ജഗ്മിവാൻ സത്യഭാമാച വിതരം ഹതം വീക്ഷിശുചാർപ്പിത വിവലബദ്ധാദാദേതി ഹാഹദാസ്മീതി മുഹ്യതി തൈലദ്രോണ്യാമൃതം പ്രാസ്യ ജഗാമാഗജസാഹ്വയം കൃഷ്ണായുധിതാർത്ഥായ തപ്താജഖ്യാപി ദുർവധം തദാകർണ്യേശ്വരോ രാജൻ അനുസൃത്യ നിർലോകതാം അഹോ നപരമം കഷ്ടം ഇതിസ്രാക്ഷോ വിലേപതും ആഗത്യാപകാം സസ്മാൽ സഭാര്യാസാഗ്രജപുരം ശതധന്വാനമാരേ ഹന്തം ഹർത്തം മണിം ദദാ
സോഭി കൃഷ്ണോദ്യമീതപ്രാണപരീപ്സയാഹായേകർമാണംജതസജാബ്രവീൽ നഹമീശ്വരയോ കുര്യാം ഹേലനം രാമകൃഷ്ണയോ കോരുക്ഷേമായ കൽപ്പേദം തയോർഭുജനമാചരൻ കംസസാനുഗതോപീതോ യദ്വേഷാത്യായുധശ്രിയ ജരാസന്ധ സപ്തദശ സംയുഗാൻ വിരധോഗത പ്രത്യാഖ്യാതസജാക്രൂരം പാഷ്ണിഗ്രാഹമയാജത സോപ്യാഹോ വിരുദ്ധ്യത വിദ്വാനീശ്വരയോർബലം യൈനം ലീലയാവിശ്വം സജത്യവതിഹന്ധ്യ ചേഷ്ടാം വിശ്വസജോയസ്യ നവിതുർമോഹിതാജയാം യ സപ്തഹായ സ ശൈലം ഉൽപാട്ടേകേന വാണിനാം ദദാര ലീലയാ ബാല ഉച്ചീലിന്ദ്രീമിവാർഭക നമസ്തസ്മൈ ഭഗവതേ കൃഷ്ണായ അത്ഭുതകർമ്മണേ അനന്തായാതിഭൂതായ കൂടസ്ഥായാത്മനേ നമ പ്രത്യാഖ്യാതസദേനാഭി ശതധന്യാ മഹാമണിം തസ്മിൻ സസ്യാശ്വമാരുഹ്യം സ തസ്മിന്യസ്യ അശ്വമാരുഹ്യ ശതയോജനഗമ്യയോ ഗരുഡധ്വജമാരുഹ്യം രഥം രാമജനാർദ്ദനോ അന്വയാദം മഹാവേഗേ അശ്വൈരാജൻ ഗുരുദ്രുഹം വിതിലായാമുഭവനെ വിസൃജ്യാപതിതം ഹയം പൽഭ്യാമധാവൽ സന്ദ്രസ്ത കൃഷ്ണോപ്യന്യുദ്രവിദ്രുഷ പദാദേർഭഗവാംസസ്യ പദാദിസ്തിഗ്മിനൈഗ്മിന ചക്രേണ ശരമുൽകൃത്യ വാസസോർവ്യജനോന്മണിം അലബ്ധമണിരാഗത്യ കൃഷ്ണമാഹാഗ്രജാന്തികം പ്രധാഹത ശതധനോർ മണിസ്തത്ര നവിദ്യതേ തദമാഹബലോ നൂനം സമണീശതന്വന കസ്മിം ശിൽപുരുഷേന്യസ്തം സമന്വേഷപുരം വ്രജ അഹം വിദേഹമിച്ഛാമി ദ്രഷ്ടം പ്രേതമം മമ ഇത്യുക്ത്വാ മിഥിലാം രാജൻ വിവേശയതു നന്ദന തം ദൃഷ്ട്വാ സഹസോത്ഥായ മൈഥില പ്രീതമാനസ അർഹയാമാസ വിധിവം അർഹണീയം സമർഹണൈ ഉവാസദസ്യം ഗതിജൻ മിഥിലായം സമാവിഭു മാനിതപ്രീതിയുക്തേന ജനകേന മഹാത്മന തദോ ശിക്ഷൽഗപാം ഗതാം കാലേ ധാർത്തരാഷ്ട്ര സുയോധന കേശവോ ദ്വാരകാമേത്യ നിധനം ശതധന്വന അപ്രാപ്തിം ജമണേ പ്രാഹ പ്രിയായാം പ്രയവൃദ്ധിവും തദസക്കാരയാമാസ ക്രിയാബന്ധോർഹതസ്യ വൈ സാഗം സൂറൽഭർഭഗവാൻ യാസ്യൂസാംബരായിക അക്രൂരക്കതവർമാജ ശ്രുത്വാ ശതധനോർവധം വിഷദോർഭയവിത്രസ്തോ ദ്വാരകായ പ്രയോജകം അക്രൂരെ പുരുഷിതാനിഷ്ഠാൻ യാസൻ വൈ ദ്വാരകൗകസാം ശാരീരാമാനസാസ്താപ മുഹുർദേവിക ഭൗതിക ഇത്യം ഗോപതിഷന്ധ്യേക വിസ്മത്യ പ്രാഹുദാഹൃതം ഉനീവാസ നിവാസഖ്യം ഘടേദാരിഷ്ടദർശനം ദേവേ വർഷതി കാശീഷ ശുഭൽക്കായാഗതായ വൈ സ്വസ്മുതാം സുസുതാം ഗാന്ധിനീം പ്രാതാൽ തദോ വർഷൽസ്മകാശിഷു തൽസുതസ്ഥൽപ്രഭാവാസ വക്രൂരായ യത്ര ദേവോഭിവർഷതേ യത്ര നോപതാപാനമാരിക ഇതി വൃദ്ധമജ ശ്രുത്വാ നൈതാവധി കാരണം ഇതി മത്വാ സമാനായം പ്രാഹ അക്രൂരം ജനാർദ്ദന പൂജയിത്വ അഭിഭാഷേനം കഥയിത്വാ പ്രിയാ കഥ വിജ്ഞാതാകല ചിത്തജ്ഞ സ്വയമാനമുവാച നനു ദാനപദേ ന്യസ്തസ്ത്വയാസ്തേശതധന്വന സമന്തകോമണിം ശ്രീമാൻ വിരിതാപൂർവേവന സത്രാജിതോനപത്യത്വാൽ ഗ്രഹണേയോർദുഹിതുസ്തുത ദായം നിനീയാപവിണ്ടാൻ വിമോച്ചർണം ച ശേഷിതം തഥാപീതുർദരസ്തന്യേ സ്ഥയ്യാസ്തം സുവ്രതേമണി കിന്തു മാമഗ്രജസ്വം എന്ന പ്രത്യേതിമണിം പ്രതി ദൃശയസ് മഹാഭാഗ ബന്ധൂനാം ശാന്തിമാവഹ അവ്യുച്ഛിന്വാമഖാസ്തേദ്യ വർത്തന്തേ രുക്മവേദയം ഏവം സാം അഭിരല അഭിരാലദ്ധാശുഭൽക്കതനയോ മണിം ആദായാവാസസാച്ഛന്നം ദദൗ സൂര്യസമപ്രഭം സമന്തകം ദർശയിത്വാ ജ്ഞാതിരാഭ്യോരനമാത്മന വിവർജ്യമണിനാവോ യസ്തസ്മൈ പ്രത്യർപ്പയൽ പ്രഭും യസ്ത്വേതൽ ഭഗവതമീശ്വരസ്യ വിഷ്ണോർ വീര്യാഢ്യം വൃജനഹരം സുമംഗലം ച ആഖ്യാനം പഠതി ശൃണോത്യനുസ്മരേദ്യ അനുസ്മരേദ്വാ ദുഷ്കീർത്തിം ദുരിതമപോഹ്യയാതി ശാന്തിം ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം ദശമസ്കന്ധേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ സമന്തഗോപാഖ്യാനം നാമ സപ്തമഞ്ചാശതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ് സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി സ്റ്റോറി ഓഫ് ദി സമന്തക ജ്വൽ ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഇൻ ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ Krishna's other marriages starts. Krishna has major wives, eight major wives. Now, in this chapter, what is discussed is the marriage to Jambavati and also to Satyavama. So now there is Rukmini, Jambavati and Satyavama. They are the three wives of Krishna. In the next chapter, Krishna discusses about the Sukadeva Goswami talks about the other marriages of Krishna. Namely, the marriage to Jambavati and later on to Kalindi. And after Kalindi, talks about the marriage to Satya and then to Bhadram and then to Lakshmana. So that's all discussed in the next chapter. And Krishna, it's decided that one day Krishna and Arjuna were going out, walking together in the evening. Krishna was with Arjuna and Kuntidevi was also in Dwaraka at the same time. So when they went out that evening, Krishna and Arjuna were just enjoying the evening on a walk. At that time, when they reached the Kalindi River, on the banks of the river, they saw this young girl sitting there in very deep meditation. So Krishna says to Arjuna, go and find out who she is and what does she want. What is this meditation for? Krishna says to Arjuna. Arjuna goes there and speaks to the young girl who was there. Initially, she did not disclose who she is, but later on, she found out that Arjuna was sent by Krishna. She says to Arjuna that I am the daughter of sun god and I am meditating here to get Krishna as my husband. Arjuna comes back and says to Krishna, this is the situation. And she has also told that she will not marry anybody else, because if Arjuna had any intention, he could give up that straight away. So that was also very openly told to Arjuna. So Arjuna's job became a messenger. Arjuna came back and told Krishna this. Krishna says to Arjuna, if that's the case, tell her not to stay in the sun for too long. She can come now right back with me. And brought her back and told her to get into the chariot and drove home with Kalindi. That is how the marriage to Kalindi happened. So when this marriage happened to Kalindi, when they got home, they went to Arjuna's house and Kundidevi was there. So Kundidevi saw this girl Krishna has got married to now, and they brought her with them. So Kundidevi says to Krishna, now that you have come, you know, new entrance after the marriage, isn't it? So there must be a ceremony as well for that. Please wait outside, Kundidevi says to Krishna and Kalindi and Arjuna. And then Kundidevi arranges the whole ceremony for them to enter into the palace. So that was all arranged by Kundidevi. So you can see, first marriage, Krishna had to go through a lot of hassle with Rukmi, Shishubala, Jarasandha, Duryodhana and so many other. Parents were not informed, were they? He never knew anything about it. Krishna made the decision on the spot and carried out. Second marriage also happened in a similar way. There was no discussion with the parents at all. It was not an arranged marriage. Everything Krishna arranged himself. And then now, after that, Satyabhama, in a similar circumstances. And now Kalindi has come after that, Kalindi has also become the fourth. Shishugan says there, keep counting, he says. It's the fourth marriage, Krishna's fourth marriage. And then Krishna had to, in one instance, there was a sister of Vasudev who lived in a place called Mitravinda was her name, the daughter of Vasudev's sister. And her brothers were called Vinda and Anivinda. Vinda and Anivinda, they are called like that. Vinda and Anivinda, Mitravinda's brothers. So, when Krishna was in the palace, the news came that Mitravinda's marriage is being arranged by her brothers, who Vinda and Anivinda were arranging the marriage of Mitravinda. They came to know that Mitravinda wanted to marry Krishna. When they came to know that, they didn't want to marry Mitravinda to Krishna due to their own, like Rukmini decided, that's all. That's the way it was. So Rukmini came to know about this, that this is happening in Mitravinda's palace, and Mitravinda wants to marry Krishna. And the problem is her brothers of Mitravinda. They were the one who were standing on the way in marrying Mitravinda to Krishna. So Rukmini has experienced this before, isn't it? In her own case, who was the problem? Rukmini and the other brothers, they were the problem. They stopped Rukmini from marrying Krishna. Their intention was to hand over Rukmini to Shishupal and to marry her to Shishupala. So Rukmini says that she knew what is happening to Mitravinda. I can see the situation, what Mitravinda is in, because having personally experienced herself what happened to her in Kundinam, in Vidarbha.
So here you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this marriage was arranged by Rukmini herself. Rukmini goes to Krishna and says to Krishna, can you not marry Mitravinda? Mitravinda, Krishna says, why should I marry Mitravinda? Rukmini says, don't you understand what's happening there? He said, so what? Krishna says, I am not bothered what happens to others. Krishna is acting very renounced now to Rukmini. Rukmini is saying to Krishna, no, you should not do like that, because after all, I have gone through this once, my own life, and I know how difficult it is when somebody wants to marry you and some others are putting so many obstacles in their life, and I don't like to see Mitravinda suffering like this. Rukmini kept putting pressure on Krishna every single day. So after some time, Krishna says, all right, if that's the case, I'll go and marry Mitravinda. And Mitravinda was married in that way. Satya. Satya was another marriage, next marriage, what Krishna has married, the girl Satya. So this Satya's case, there's another interesting thing. The father of Satya has taken a vow that in their palace, they had 7 very powerful bulls. Very powerful bulls. Only such a person who can come and control these bulls will be able to marry my daughter Satya. That was the decision he had taken. So many kings were coming there to marry Satya. She was very beautiful. And they used to come, and these 7 bulls will come out into the arena, and they'll try to control them, but they used to get kicked and punched by the bulls, and they will leave the arena half dead. Either legs broken, hands broken, this, that, and that. This is the way Kshatriya sang. Then that for everything for them is a fight. Otherwise there is no fun in life for them. So that's the way they acted anyway. So Satya was not getting married because this was the problem. Satya couldn't find a husband. Every husband who has come to marry her used to leave back to the hospital to the ambulance. Back to the hospital. That was the situation. So Krishna thought that if this goes on like this, she will stay unmarried for the whole life. Nobody will marry Satya. And Krishna felt compassion for Satya. So he went to Satya's palace. And when he went there, Krishna went there, the king realized that Krishna had come. So the king told Krishna that, I am so sorry that I have kept a commitment like this. Only that personality who can control these 7 bulls at the same time can marry Satya. I didn't know that you would come. If I knew that you were coming, I would not have put such a condition to that, preconditions like that. Krishna says, that is no problem. Because in my childhood, this was my business. I have been only controlling bulls and cows. That was my job. And I got used to them very much, he says. Krishna is saying to the king, to the father of the girl, to Satya. And let me give it a try, he says. I've not forgotten any of them, what I used to do with them, he says. So, but the women in the palace, that is this Satya's sisters and mother and all of them, they were a little bit concerned about it. Why? Because they heard that Krishna has already married Rukmini, Jambavati, Satyabhama, Kalindi, and also Mitravinda. Already 5 marriages have happened. If Krishna marries our daughter or our sister, whoever it is, and that means she will be the 6th one there in the palace. So how much time Krishna will have for Mitravinda, or will she be not given enough recognition in the palace? Will she be her position will be very much in a weak in the palace? And all these thoughts are going through the mind of Satya's mother and also the other women in the palace. So what did Krishna do? When the 7 bulls came out into the bull fighting arena, wherever that was, Krishna expanded himself into 7 and controlled each one of them, pushed them down with the hands and made them to lie down on the ground, all 7 of them. In 7 different forms, he expanded and did this. So the purpose of expansion was not only to show that he could control the bulls, which he did very well, but also to convince the women in the palace that if I marry one more, I can still handle it. because I can expand myself into seven different forms. That was also, the commentators are saying, that was also a thought behind that. That was the reason why Krishna expanded into these seven different forms. After that, Satya was married. There was another marriage to a Nagnajit's daughter called Bhadra. This Bhadra's case was, they were also, this marriage proposal came from the parents, Vasudeva and Devaki. By now, Krishna has married, six marriages have happened. None of them parents were consulted. So Krishna thought, all the other marriages I have taken the decision myself. At least this marriage, let me go through the proper channel, which is the arranged marriage from the parents. So that is how Bhadra was married to Krishna. So it is actually, strictly speaking, it is the seventh marriage of Krishna. That was the arranged marriage. All the other marriages were done at Krishna's pleasures and Krishna's plans, whatever that was. So Bhadra was married and brought home. And then the last marriage was the marriage of Lakshmana, who was the Lakshmana was the daughter of the king of Madras, which is Chennai today. And the daughter, Lakshmana, was a beautiful girl. And Krishna wanted to marry her, but at the same time, the problem was that the father of Lakshmana has set up an archery competition. Just like when Arjuna went to marry Draupadi, he had to face that, isn't it? An archery competition. Similarly, another competition was set up by Lakshmana's father, king. But when Arjuna went, even Arjuna failed in that. Arjuna couldn't finish it, hit the target, what was done. Krishna realized that if Arjuna couldn't do it, that means Lakshmana will stay like this, she won't be married. So, just like Arjuna, Krishna felt in case of Satya, Krishna also felt compassion for Lakshmana. Went to the palace and shot and hit the target and won Lakshmana in marriage and brought her also. So now we have got eight major wives of Krishna: Rukmini, Jambavati, Satyabhama, Mitravinda, Satya, Bhadra and Lakshmana. Eight. So these are the eight major wives of Krishna. They are known as Ashtamahishis. Ashtamahishis means they are the major wives of Krishna who are brought in marriage in the beginning. And later on, Krishna has also married another 16,100 girls later. We'll discuss that in the next chapter. And after that, another important pastime of Krishna comes now. Krishna and Rukmini's quarrel. And this quarrel you can call it, argument you can call it, whichever you like it, is also another important and strong message for the householders. So all those householders who are quarreling at home, they can come and listen to this. When Krishna and Rukmini quarreled each other, how they enjoyed their quarrel, and if any lessons from that to learn. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.